the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. So you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Good morning, everybody. This is Monday, June 16th. In California time, it's 9:02 Pacific Standard Time. Good morning. I hope you had a good Father's Day. You're listening to Brian Hammer Jackson at 97.6 Block Talk Radio.
96.7.
Okay. 96.7. Ellen's not here today because she has a family emergency. She will contact us as soon as she's done. Good morning, Kelly.
Morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay. Are you in the studio?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to read what's coming up?
Sure. Reviews are in. The only PC thing going on in this show is that you can hear it on one. Hammer has no filter. It should be a crime to let this man talk on a public forum. The executive producer, Kelly Corbin, does her best to keep the show flowing to a professional level to no avail. The crazy just overwhelms her to frustrated surrender. Ellen Johnson joins this insane talk as a person who is trying to make sense of it all with her sense of humor. This is why it just goes more out of control. The guests on this show do not know what to expect, but when it's all done, everyone has the best time, and this is the show. The guests on the show do not know what to expect, but when it's all done, everyone has the best time, and this is why the show, Brian the Hammer Jackson Show, is rated number one show of the best newcomer shows on the radio worldwide. Sponsored by Midway Marketplace, helping people buy, sell, and trade new and used amusement, concession, and confection equipment.
Thank you, Kelly. That's pretty damn good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And it's true. Thank you. Good read. That was a cold read, too. That is true. You get a lot of stuff coming in. You get a lot of mail that I don't read because a lot of it is stupid mail because people are yelling at me. That's why it's stupid. I only read the nice stuff, and since I don't have any nice stuff, I'm not going to read it. That's just how it works. All right, Kelly. Hope you had a good Father's Day. I know the situation. I'm hoping your husband is having a good one, and I know he had a great one because he's with a beautiful family, of course. You could not have a bad Father's Day without that beautiful family of yours. I hope you had everything went well.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome. You know, we're going to go right into this. Have you been watching the news with this ISIS thing and all this kind of stuff?
A little bit.
Yeah. The world's going crazy. I want to welcome everybody. We have some new listeners, I know, on Twitter. We have some new listeners worldwide. I would try to enunciate. Sometimes I get lazy, I get tired, and I run words into each other. I'm also going to say it's very important that you get your music in. If you really want to be part of the music show, we're going to do it with you or without you. But if you're interested, if you're a new artist and you want to get your music played on the radio, you can come on the studio. You can come in the studio right now at 646-595-3032. 646-595-3032. You can introduce yourself. Let me know what group you're in. You can enter your music today. And you get the chance to talk to me. Right, Kelly?
That's right.
That's a treat. So what we're going to do right now is let's go right to, you feel like going to the news, Kelly? I know we have We have box office and everything coming up. This is really bothering the hell out of me. Do you know anything about this group called ISIS?
Very little, but I know just a little bit. I've been watching some of the news stories on it.
All right, let's take a listen, okay, kiddo?
Okay.
Okay, let's see what they have to say. Let's see if we can know more about this group. And, you know, I try to time this like we're professional, but you know what happens?
It never works.
It never works. That's why we're real radio. You know, we're the only real radio station around. Everybody else tries to plan shit. Here we go.
This is ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, driving toward Baghdad. This video posted on YouTube purports to show militant fighters in captured American Humvees firing their guns in celebration. Another video posted online shows ISIS fighters parading hundreds of prisoners before a crowd. The captured men, now in civilian clothes, said to be members of the Iraqi police. And in this video, an ISIS fighter speaks to a large and vocal crowd of supporters in Mosul. The fighter, his face covered, tells the crowd his group will establish a state that will protect the rights of Sunni Muslims. Over the past year, the militant group has gained control of dozens of cities in northeastern Syria, and now, according to some experts, nearly half of Iraq.
Not only it controls 50% of Iraqi territories, it controls also large chunks of territories in Syria. And what they're trying to do is to really have a contiguity between Iraq and Syria in order to do what? In order to establish what they call a caliphate or a centralized state governed by Islamic law.
But this is a jihadist group so extreme, even Al-Qaeda wants nothing to do with them.
We're in a pretty scary place if Al-Qaeda is disavowing people for their violence.
As these graphic photos show, in recent months, the group has executed enemies in Syria and then staged their deaths to look like crucifixions. And ISIS is apparently looking to the future, openly recruiting young boys and running schools to radicalize Syria's next generation. In ISIS territory, women have to wear full black veils in public. Here, ISIS troops burn cartons of cigarettes, part of a ban on smoking. Being accused of theft is enough to lose a hand. And for those who refuse to obey ISIS rules, the consequences are clear. Torture, then death. Jonathan Mann, CNN.
Well, you know what I think about this? You know, this Middle East, they've been fighting for hundreds of years, probably thousands. Let Allah sort it out. Let Allah sort it out. How many hundreds of American soldiers since the Gulf War and into Afghanistan and into this and then all of a sudden, who did not see this was going to happen when we leave? Who did not see this? A blind person could see. Well, as soon as they leave, guess what? Who did not see this? So we were there and we killed hundreds of American soldiers died for what, 10, 15 cents less oil? And you know what? I don't buy the crap. And the Republicans do this a lot, and it drives me crazy. Well, if we don't stop them at Baghdad, and they have a place where they can hide and they can get control over this, they're going to come to the United States and our security. Shit, who buys that? You know what I mean? It's fear. Whoever wins, we still have a threat of any extremists coming to the United States. I don't care who's the government. You know, how many American people and American dollars have American men and women died and American dollars and spent on this Afghanistan? And now we're doing business with the Taliban, now we're doing business with this one and this one, and now we're doing business with... Shut the hell up. Let Allah take care of this. You know what? Here's what we do. We stand back. We go kill each other. You come over here. You want to start? You know that? Just go ahead and do what you need to do. Whatever government takes over, fine. We're going to spend another 10 cents, another 15 cents of gas. We're going to do it anyway.
well, this group takes over, and this is a safety they told us that the Taliban takes over. Well, we're going to do it. Or if Al Qaeda takes over, we're going to. Now we're working. I don't know if we're working with Al Qaeda. Even Al Qaeda said, "Damn, Al Qaeda is running for their lives." With the Sunnis and the Shiites and the Kurds, it's a religion. It's a religious war. And we cannot understand it, and we never will. I say let them have a big civil war, and whatever government comes out, we work with. What are your thoughts on this, Kelly?
Well, I kind of agree with you. I was reading an article in the paper this morning how they were pulling out a lot of people, a lot of Americans out of the post there in Baghdad because of the danger. But I'm also reading something that's kind of disturbing as well. Secretary of State John Kerry cautiously signaled on Monday that the United States would be open to cooperating with Iran military in Iraq to beat back Al-Qaeda-inspired fighters who pose as existential danger to that war-torn country and may look to target Europe and the United States. This is
exactly
a challenge to I don't know. It all goes back to the beginning of why were we there in the first place. It really does. I'm so tired.
This is what John McCain, and I got pissed off at John McCain, when we're doing the rebels with the Syria, and if we arm the rebels in Syria, which is interesting, part of the Al-Qaeda people were the rebels. So that means if we arm the rebels, we're arming Al-Qaeda. And if we arm these people here, now we arm the Iranians, and then we arm this, who was in Qaeda, who's embedded in there. It's like, what? It's just like what you said. Okay, so now we're working with terrorism who come over and attack us, so we're going to fight these guys because they're more extreme. And for what?
Exactly.
So we can control the oil.
In the next paragraph it says, let's see what Iran might or might not be willing to do before we start making any pronouncements. What can they do for us? The oil is the only thing that's there. What else can they do for us? And we have oil here. We have an abundance of oil.
And that's what we're going to do. We're going to give them billions of dollars and everything to fight these militants. And then we'll give them arms because we're not going to put troops on the ground. And now Al-Qaeda has American military as well as Iran. And then 5 years later, I'm going, oh, shit, what are they doing? You know what? It's a religious war. It's like maybe we can make common sense of it. It's like it's religious. I've almost started to say the Jewish people and the Catholic people, and they talk, I think. You can't win. And the only thing, and this is one of those cases, is my enemy is now my friend. But this is always temporary in the Middle East. My enemy is now my friend, and then my friend's going to be turned into my enemy, because now my friend's going to turn into my enemy, and he's going to go to the enemy who was before who was our enemy. It's an ongoing thing. You know who I feel sorry? You know who's the victim of this? One victim here, Obama.
Right.
I feel sorry for Obama.
Well, it's like I read on something the other day, the poor man can't do anything. It doesn't matter what he does. It's the wrong thing to do in somebody's eyes. And he just hasn't had a fair shake. He inherited a country that was in a bad, bad, bad situation and in the middle of war. And how much more can you expect him to do? Whether he's handling everything right or wrong, or something's right and something's wrong, I think that he's probably doing the best that he can with what he's got to work with.
Well, you know what's going on here. It's like we're having problems with the Ukraine. Now we have problems with North Korea, Syria, Baghdad, Egypt. You know why the Germans lost World War II?
Why is that?
There's only two reasons why the Germans lost the war. One, they didn't prepare their army for the winter. They had no idea how cold it was in the Russian front. They didn't prepare their army for the winter. But two, is that they were they were extended in so many fronts that they couldn't control one. They were overextended.
Right.
That's what's happening with us.
Mm-hmm.
We got the conflict with North Korea. We still got that guy. He's still there. In fact, he kidnapped an American about a week ago, but you're not hearing it. What's his name? Long Dong, Jong Kim, whatever, Little Kim. He's still there. We got the Ukraine going on there. And now we got Russian ships buzzing us, basically mocking us. I know this has been going on for all the time, but now it's getting a little closer. We got warships now back at the Gulf. We just left there a year ago. We're back. It's simple. Let Allah sort it out. Let Allah sort it out. Let them have one big civil war. That's it. Whoever went, I don't care. I see these images. So what? I wish I had a heart, Kelly. I see these images. Oh, well, there's some more images of a guy getting blown away, and he's on a cross, and he's getting shot in the head. And what? That's what you do in the Middle East. There's images of this ISIS, and they're catching people, and their law is they're going by I don't know if it's Sunni law, where if you steal something, they cut off your hand. Well, hey, don't go visit there. I'll go to Disneyland. Well, not going there for a vacation. It's their frickin' law. It's their frickin' religion. Why are we going to expose our military, our American soldiers, to somebody else's religion that we don't even understand, that we think is barbaric? Because we want the oil, so oil could be 20 cents cheaper. And we're going to end up, whoever it is, we're going to end up doing a deal with them anyway.
That's true.
Whoever it is. Well, right now we're working with Iran. Right now John McCain wants the weapons to their rebels. So let's give more weapons to Al-Qaeda because they're embedded in the rebels. Why not? Haven't we learned Vietnam? Vietnam should have been a learning tool. It should have been a learning. You know, Americans have a short memory. That's what hurts us. We have a very short memory. Very short. So, yeah, I feel sorry for Obama. I mean, he's almost out of the office, and people are talking about, what's her name, Hillary Clinton. And guess what? I don't think Hillary Clinton's going to run. People are saying she's going to run. I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm not too certain either. I listened to an interview with her the other day, and she alluded to the fact that she is, but she never really said she was. I'm not so sure she wants to inherit this either.
No, I don't think. What's going on with Hillary right now? She's selling a book. She's on a book tour. This gets people curious and listening and waiting for that soundbite. I'm running. She's selling books. I don't think she's
right.
going to run. I think the Republicans are sitting there going, okay, we got to find somebody who runs against Hillary. We got to find some, and I guarantee you, when the primary comes, it won't be Hillary. And the Republicans are going to have their finger up their ass again going, duh. The Republicans are the most, oh, God, I don't know. They keep talking. You know what I don't like about politics is that even Obama will talk about Lincoln. We have to go that far back. And the Republicans will talk about Reagan. It's like a bunch of people in high school. Remember the good old years? Because you haven't done anything in the last 16, but remember the good old years? You got Tea Party people who are beating them in the primaries. Nobody, the Republicans are gone. They're scrambling. They're like Al-Qaeda. Well, boy, would that be a soundbite. Republicans are like Al-Qaeda. What I mean by that is that they're running around ducking and dodging, hiding here, hiding there, and they're being picked off by the Tea Party. And the Democrats love that. Oh, give me more Tea Party people, because when election year comes and we can see the extreme of the Tea Party, we're back into the White House, baby. The Republican Party will destroy. Well, let's just face it. There's no Republican Party anymore. You got so much influence by the Tea Party that's in there. The independents are in there. They got nothing. They got nothing. They got nothing. All right. Kelly, we're going to take a commercial and we're going to come back. Casey Kasem died. Casey Kasem at 82.
Right.
It's not like anybody didn't expect it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. People die. It's always a shock when people die. People die. We get born, we die. You want to hear the story? Wait, let's hear the story. You don't need me, Bama. Here's Casey Kasem's story. Let's hear the story. There's going to be a little commercial here. And, the bitter, disgusting battle regarding the kids and the ex. Was she his wife or was she his girlfriend? I don't know.
No, they've been married for a lot of years, I think. 20 years, something, some odd years.
She's like 30 years younger than him or something?
Yeah, she is. She's like 59 or something like that.
And she's out of her mind. She's another nutcase. She had a video of throwing some meat, which was a subliminal message like, you throw meat to the wolves, meaning her parents. Here's the story.
Ever known for counting backwards.
I'm Casey Kasem, counting them down.
In the days when radio disc jockeys still ruled the music industry, Casey Kasem was a king.
Every week we count down the most popular songs in the USA from Manchester, Connecticut to Manchester, Kansas.
He said the secret to his success was that he sounded like the guy next door.
We don't stop till we get to the top.
He was born in Detroit in 1932 and named Kamal Amin Kasem. His parents were Lebanese immigrants. Kasem bounced around from radio station to radio station until 1970, when he came up with an idea.
The countdown will begin.
Oops. That was my bad. Let's go back to Casey, shall we? I don't know. Should we go back to Casey? I mean, all he was a countdown boy.
Right, but he was a big part of a lot of generations' lives.
All right, Kelly. All right. Let's go back to Casey. Here we go.
His parents were Lebanese immigrants. Kasem bounced around from radio station to radio station until 1970, when he came up with an idea called American Top 40. It was quickly syndicated nationwide, and Kasem became the voice of the countdown and the long-distance dedication.
A long-distance dedication from a North American woman in Arkansas to the Englishman she left behind in South America.
There was even a TV version, shorter of course, called America's Top 10.
Thank you and hello again, everybody. Welcome to America's Top 10.
A generation of kids also grew up hearing his voice, not on the radio, but on cartoons.
What a great idea, Scoob!
He was the voice of Shaggy, the faithful friend of Scooby-Doo.
Hey, Scoob, you want to hear my radio voice?
Yeah.
Like, put down your snow shovel and pick up that thin air guitar. It's time to stay in and rock out.
Kasem was also an unapologetic liberal, marching with Jesse Jackson during his presidential campaign. He also was a longtime co-host of the Jerry Lewis Labor Day Telethon. After his retirement from radio in 2009, his health declined rapidly and turned into a courtroom drama as his children from his first marriage fought with his second wife, Jean, over treatment and care for his reported dementia, even sparking a missing person search for him near Seattle. But Kasem will be remembered not for his final days, but for those final words of inspiration on each of his broadcasts.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
For CBS This Morning, Ben Tracy, Los Angeles.
Poor bastard. Can you imagine going out like that?
Yeah, it's sad.
You know, it is sad. And it's hard to say goodbye to somebody like that. But when was the last time Casey did? I mean, he's been away from radio for a while, right?
Yeah. I think in the early 2000s he was still doing the top 40.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up. I'm not sure when he stopped, but I know that he did it, I mean, for a number of years, and then he just kind of disappeared all of a sudden.
Well, I'm telling you, you know, that's a bad way to go. That's a bad way to go, not knowing who you are, anything like that. It's time. He was 80, what, was 86? I didn't know he was like
82.
A civil rights kind of, yeah. I didn't know he was kind of like a civil rights guy. Well, Casey,
yeah.
I'm going to miss you, buddy. Top 40. I wish I could do his voice. We should do some kind of salute to Casey, you know what I mean? Something that would be heartfelt, that people will always remember. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Something respectful?
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
All right, let's do something respectful. You know we do respectful stuff here. Well, we think of something respectful about that. You know, Tony Gwynn, he's a former Baseball Hall of Famer. He died at 54. 54.
Wow.
54 years old. Kelly, they're dying around us.
Yes, they are.
Well, people die, don't they? All right, we're going to take a break, and you have the box office. Hey, we should do something special for Casey. I got the very special Casey thing. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Let's remember Casey as a professional as he is, and let's remember him as a good guy. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we're saying goodbye to Casey Kasem, and this is one of his most proud moments on the air.
The countdown will begin this Sunday afternoon at 1, right here on the radio station you grew up with, Music Radio 138. Oh, fuck. What the hell's going on here? Oh, geez, well, isn't it the last hour? We got another hour to do? Geez, I thought we were almost finished. Good golly, Miss Molly. Boy, this is fucking ponderous, man. Ponderous, fucking ponderous. Hi, this is Casey Kasem. American Top 40 has moved to a new time. I hope you'll join me this Saturday morning and every Saturday morning at 2. Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's come start again. I'm coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. It's a last goddamn time. I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
Oh, God bless Casey.
Yeah, I heard that on the radio this morning.
We'll be right back with more.
Remember when I was a 10 and did not look like a guy? My hair was long, I had clothes on, but now I get nude and cry. Since the VMAs, all the people say I am a total skank. Grinded Robin Thicke made the whole crowd sick, especially the Smiths. I'm basically a wrecking ball for the youth of America. All I want is to bring what's the call with my resume home in Germany. We must speak like finally. Now watch me ride a ball and try to make a seductive face. But creep properly. I totally look just like Nicolas Cage. Time for me to lick this hammer like it's a big metal penis. I'll lick anything for more attention. This condom looks delish.
I've been looking for this. Oh, put some goddamn clothes on, you sicko!
I'm naked on a rack. Showing off my tattoos and butt. Now I'm triumphing a broken wall. I went from Disney to where Grace and Kiki. I need to get therapy.
Excuse me, I'm here for the porn. Bend over, girl, let's make this quick.
What do you mean this is not porn?
Then why the hell are you naked?
Because I'm a wannabe whore who sluts it up to get more views.
So that means we don't have to screw. Thank God!
Excuse me?
You are too dirty for Ron Jeremy. Sorry, sweetie, it's true.
I ruined a beautiful song with a disgusting video.
Okay, this has gone on way too long. You need to get up off our construction site. How do you expect us to work with a crazy anorexic chick swinging naked from our equipment and licking and humping everything she sees?
Sorry, but I'm not leaving.
Oh no, now she is twerking. Dear God, just kill us now, please.
Thanks, Liam!
Oh, believe me, it was my pleasure.
Yo, guys, thanks.
Night out on the town, $75.
So. How about a blowjob?
Getting the nerve to ask such a question? $12 bottle of wine.
Are you crazy? My parents might see.
Oh, come on. Who's going to see us at this hour?
I'll return the favor.
Wait, can you imagine if we got caught? Oh, my God, what my dad would do to you.
There's nobody around. Everybody's asleep.
No, wait. It's way too risky.
Please. I love you so much.
Actually, using a line like that? Another $12 bottle of wine.
Please.
Dad says to go ahead and give him a blowjob. Or I can do it. Or if need be, he'll come down himself and do it. But for God's sake, tell him to take his hand off the intercom.
Having a girlfriend whose father has a sense of humor? Priceless. There are some things money can't buy.
Frank Sinatra was a man. No. He was the man, and he loved Jack. No, that's Jackie. Jack, as in Daniels. On stage every night, three rocks, two fingers, and a splash of water. He's even buried with a bottle of it. So, Frank, this one's for you.
That's the nectar of the gods, baby.
You're listening to Brian, the Hammer Jackson, at 96.7 Bug Hug Radio.
I was there to my own
but still, Pompeii. beautiful songs. Then they got wiped out with a volcano. So sad. But the song made almost number one. That's good news. Well, what do you think of our commercials, Kelly? Kelly, we're on the radio. All right, here we go.
Oops, I must have hit my mute button on accident. I was talking. I said I didn't know what to think about them. I kind of was wondering about that Miley Cyrus one. It's like, that doesn't sound like her. But then I cut on midway through.
Okay. We have another death. A former NFL running back, Thomas, dies at 41. Wow. Thomas died in his hometown of, is it Groverton, Texas, at about 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Saturday, according to the Trinity County Justice of Peace Road, Peace Rod Blair. The cause of death will not be determined until an autopsy is complete. 41 years old. Wow. Some of you might know he was with he moved to the Tennessee and became the Titans. He played in the Super Bowl 34, I guess it was, against the St. Louis Rams. He retired in 2001 after spending one season with the Atlanta Falcons. Well, if you go to Atlanta Falcons, you're going to retire. But he's dead at 41 years old, Kelly.
41 years young. That's very young.
I'm telling you, they're dying early with this football thing. You know what I can't stand? Remember LaToya Jackson?
Right.
I mean, the one you might remember her. She's the less talented of the Jacksons.
Mm-hmm.
She's annoying.
The strange ones. Yeah,
the strange
one.
One,
I should say.
I don't know. Michael seemed to be the strangest. Did you know there was rumors that Michael had seven noses? He put on a different nose for each concert. You can't get any stranger than Michael. You can't. I mean, you know, but LaToya comes in close second. But listen to this story. She's doing a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
LaToya Jackson says she's going all out this season in her reality show, Life with LaToya. Over the weekend, viewers watched her get engaged.
Life with LaToya.
Yeah,
who watches that? How bad is TV? You know, there's so many independent artists out there with web series and things like this, and this crap makes it. Well, here we go. Let's listen. It might get better.
And next Saturday, fans will see LaToya perform in an off-Broadway musical review.
Doing Broadway.
Off-Broadway means she's performing in Idaho. Anyway, let's listen to LaToya's play.
Every day, twice a day, projecting to an audience.
When you usually do a play, LaToya, you are projecting to an audience, but let's get her intelligence. Let's listen to her. She's a very intelligent girl. I mean, it's riveting. Listen to her.
As much as you can, and singing live, and remembering your lines, and all of these different things.
Remember, kids, when you perform, you have to remember your lines, and you got to project to the audience. She's a genius. Let's listen to LaToya's advice on acting.
It was so great for me.
The second season of Life with LaToya airs Saturday night.
Guess where it's airing. You will not guess what moron put her on TV. You will never guess what moron who thinks she's a genius puts her on TV. Do you want to guess?
Well, I was going to say it has to either be Oprah or Ryan Seacrest, but you filled it when you said she, so I'm saying Oprah.
Exactly. Well, listen.
It's on the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Can you believe this?
God. Oprah's living
in marble. On the Oprah Winfrey Network. You know, I'm telling everybody, ever since she left ABC, see, you guys give this Oprah too much credit. When she was with ABC, she had certain things she had to do. ABC ran her show. She's basically a talking head. She's the worst interviewer. We're going to put Oprah. We have Oprah soundbite. Oh, if you don't want to kill yourself, you will. She's overrated. ABC made her rich. As soon as she went on her own, she's putting crap like this. Thank you, Oprah. Let's watch Oprah's genius. Here we go.
On the Oprah Winfrey Network. If you enjoyed the sci-fi horror flick The Purge, the sequel hits a theater near you this Wednesday. The Purge: Anarchy follows a young couple whose car breaks down as the annual Purge gets underway and nothing is against the law.
I hope that people come away with some real questions on their minds and real, like, wow, how close are we to this in our real...
You know, actresses should not talk. Do you know The Purge? Have you seen the movie?
No.
Okay, do you know the movie? You know the story of The Purge?
No.
Okay, here's the story. Once a day in a year, one day out of the year, everything illegal is legal. Rape, murder, everything is legal. You can kill people, anything. You got 24 hours to do all this. Everything's legal. And the reasoning behind it is because people are so tense, and it relieves a lot of pressure. So one day of the year, we're going to say you can kill anybody you want to. It'll relieve the pressure and make the economy better, and you can relax. One day of the year. Now, people know this, right? And if somehow there's always idiots who, what? Is this today? This is one of those days, if you have once a year somebody's going to kill you, you would not forget. You could forget the anniversary, but you're not going to forget that, you know, maybe this is not a time to go out for dinner. So this is Purge Part 2. And this is an actress who is explaining why the Purge is. Listen to her explanation.
It's in our real world.
And what happens in Vegas stays.
I got to hear that. I'm playing it again. This is her explanation of The Purge. And this is why actresses should not talk.
And real, like, wow, how close are we to this in our real world?
And what happens in Vegas?
It's not going to happen in our real world. There's not going to be a day where everybody kills each other. It's not like it's Christmas or anything like that. Can you imagine a sale on Target and everything if we had that day? The NRA will rich. They will love it. Oh, this is so scary. It could happen in real life. No, it can't. This is why writers give you a line to speak, you dumbass. All right, here's something else.
Stays on the big screen in Think Like a Man 2. The couples you met in the first movie reunite for a wedding in Sin City. But this time, the men and the women get into mischief. The women do it better.
It's a much bigger issue than Vegas.
Can't we just admit that they, like, that is it?
I'm the first
smarter.
Person to say it.
Smarter, faster, stronger than us.
Think Like a Man 2 arrives in theaters Friday. And that's your Eye on Entertainment. Suzanne Marquez, CBS News, Los Angeles.
We're in trouble if that's entertainment.
Thank you for coming.
Jesus Christ. Luckily, you have some real entertainment reports right now. Let me get rid of this. LaToya making an ass of herself. Casey Kasem swearing. Former football player dies. Kelly, I hope you have some better news for me.
I'm not sure I
do.
Have any better news.
But, should we hear the... You know, Oprah is a self-proclaimed... I think she's like... what do we call him? Gandhi? Would you say Oprah's a Gandhi of entertainment? Because what she says, everybody listens, right?
Self-proclaimed.
Jeez. People are still buying her act. People are still buying the Oprah act like she's all that. Yeah, here's a little bit of Oprah. Here's an interview of Oprah. Let's really listen to Oprah. Here's Oprah talking to Lindsay. Here we go.
I believe that you believe that this is your time to turn this around for yourself. I believe that.
Yeah.
I believed
you when you told me that.
It is.
Okay. All right. If that is the case, then you're not going to be up. And I know you're surprised to hear me say
I actually love it.
You're not going to be
it's
doing
awesome.
You're not going to be doing that.
I need to hear that from you because it helps. It empowers me.
Oh,
yes.
Jesus. It empowers her. If Oprah's
and
her
so
father.
You need to cut the you really do.
Okay.
Just cut the
okay.
You know what to do. What I really feel deeply from you and profoundly that you just don't have head intelligence, you have heart intelligence. Phenomenal things are going to come from you if you don't continue to block them.
Right.
Because I don't want to hear again about the, you know, the changing of the sky. You know this. You make an agreement, keep your commitments. I can't stand up for you. I can't back you up. I can't be there for you.
I like the Oprah music behind her.
I can't trust you.
Yeah. You don't have head intelligence. Basically, you're a moron. Bring my music in. Tone it up. I want this dramatic. This is a private moment between me and Lindsay Lohan, so make sure my music plays nicely. Kelly, what do you think about her?
Well, I think she's, like I said, she's fallen off the deep end. It just seems like she's grasping at any story, and she's basically going after the type of stories that she proclaimed she wouldn't do or that she did early on and changed her focus. It's right back to Jerry Springer time for her.
Especially with her new show, a second season of LaToya Jackson on their own network. Wow. Who even knew she had her first season? Wow. Oprah's really doing marvelous stuff here. All right, everybody. We're going to be right back.
Lindsay Lohan to LaToya Jackson.
LaToya Jackson. Woo! Positive stuff we're doing, Oprah. Her own network is sinking like the Titanic. It is just going down, 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 down. And it's hard to feel sorry for a billionaire. But, you know, the reason didn't she retire? She was supposed to retire, but you know what? She needs the spotlight. She needs the She needs this. And, you know, when a lot of people, and I hate to see it, you know, it happens all the time. Muhammad Ali, he should have retired, but he had that last fight. People don't remember it. Dan Marino, oh, my God, his last game was like 5 interceptions. People don't retire. They get humiliated and get booed off the field or off something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Oprah thinks that she is who she is. She really thinks that she's beyond anybody else. Her movies suck. She sucks. She's a fat ass. And you guys are still buying Oprah. Hey, speaking of sports, let's do this transition to sports and come back. Kelly, you got the box office report and what's out on DVD?
I do.
Okay. Well, I want to say congratulations to San Antonio. Texas kicked Miami. Kicked their ass. Not only beat them, kicked their ass. LeBron's probably crying right now. Good for him. Hey, if you have any comments, come on in, 646-595-3032, 646-595-3032. I mean, Kelly, how do you feel about an athlete crying? You know, you women, I'd like to know how you women feel about it. When it's not just LeBron, and I like to use the term, he has more LeBron than brains. But it's not just LeBron. When you see an athlete, a guy who's in hockey or a guy who plays football or anyone, you know who used to do it? Crybaby Magic Johnson. Oh, I wanted to slap him every frickin' time. That's one dude I just want to hit with a baseball bat. Shut up, Magic. Grow some balls. What do you think about that, Kelly? You're a woman.
Well,
you see this?
I just think that they're overcome by emotion. I think... You know, I get kind of a kick out of LeBron James because it seems like he's always crying. But I don't know. How can you run somebody down for emotions or something that you really can't control when it happens? You know, we all wish we could control it at times when it happens, but your emotions are so deep and sincere that you're in the moment, and who's to say that that's right or wrong?
You know, I agree with you. I mean, you're getting paid millions of dollars, and then you go through a season, you play a game that kids play, and then you get that trophy that costs $89, and then you cry. I was being sarcastic, Kelly.
I know.
It's just like, shut up, you guys. What this crying stuff? All right. You know what's coming up. The season's coming up. Football's coming up, Kelly. For real men who take real men's head off, who go out in the football field, and they kick some ass.
Yes,
you know that's
is.
Coming.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to do a transition. We're going to play a tribute to it. And football is coming. I can't wait. I freaking can't wait. And we'll be right back with entertainment news.
Football. The name of the game.
Football.
The name of the game.
Football.
The name of the game.
Football.
The name of the game.
Congratulations to the U.S. soccer team. I say congratulations because they made it to the locker room and they put on their uniforms and they got their ass kicked. But for us just to drive to the stadium and make it to the stadium, that's a victory. They got their ass kicked, I think, from Guam, a little tiny country. They don't even have enough people to make a soccer team, and they kicked our ass. Why don't we just give it up? Speaking on a story, sports story, Kelly, is this just in?
I just saw it, yeah.
Really? With the lawyer, Joe Montana refuses to cooperate in the FBI sting? What's going on with Joe Montana? NFL Hall of Famer Joe Montana declined to be part of a fake investment scheme when an FBI undercover agent posing as a real estate agent to try to lure Montana into a sting. The agent contacted Montana during their investigation of California State Senator Leland Yee and Chinatown Tong leader Raymond Shrimp Boy. Okay, if you guys don't know who the Tong is, it's a gang. It's a gang in Chinatown, one of the most ruthless, fearless gang called the Tong. And this guy's name, the leader, is called Shrimp Boy.
Okay.
that's his G name, Shrimp Boy Chow. Yee was one of more than two dozen people arrested in the federal corruption probe involving bribery and weapons dealing. According to the report, the agents set up a meeting in efforts to discuss a possible investment in Montana's planned hotel development next to the San Francisco 49ers stadium. Montana had signed a term sheet with the city to develop a 200-room hotel, offices and restaurants on the 9.5 acres next to the stadium. Last month, the paper reported that the FBI looked into Montana, who retired after the 1994 NFL season and dropped their inquiry when they came up empty. Well, there you go. Trying to tie Joe Montana into a sting with the gang, the Tong, with the leader, Trip Boy Chow. I like, and there's also a notorious gang in there in Chinatown, too. It's called the Cream of Some Young Guy. Fearless gay gang.
What?
Roaming around. Yeah. Cream of Some Young Guy. Telling you, watch out for them. And that's your news. Ole, 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 ole. All right. So, Kelly, are you prepared for the entertainment report?
I am. I have another story, though, and if you don't mind me getting a story that kind of makes me feel bad about people.
Well, oh, well, you have a report? Hold on. Well, let me get your music if you have a report.
We're not worthy.
Okay, proceed.
Huh?
We're just not worthy of your report. What's your report?
Well, it's about a three-year-old little girl who was attacked by three dogs, and she had some, you know, they got a hold of her good, and she was leaving the hospital. And her face is cut up, and she's wearing an eye patch. And so Grandma took the three-year-old to KFC, or Kentucky Fried Chicken, in Jackson, Mississippi. And they were asked to leave because her face was disrupting customers. Can you believe that? A three-year-old little girl and Kentucky Fried Chicken people asked her to leave because it was disturbing the customers, and it was disturbing to look at and disrupting the customers.
I don't know. I'm on a fifth. You know, morally, Kelly, it's wrong. Morally, yes. But let me tell you something. When I go in a restaurant, I don't like to sit around old people.
But
especially
I'm looking
when they
at the
order
and there's really, you know, it's not that bad. She does have an eye patch on, understandably.
Right.
But it's
right.
Not like she's gashed up and open wounds, and you know, I mean, she's a cute little girl with little blonde hair and wearing a little dress,
right,
and you
right,
know, with an eye patch
right.
over her eye. How do you
well,
make a three-year-old little girl leave because they're disturbing?
Well, maybe because you're looking at a picture. But if you're pretend you're in a restaurant and you see this three-year-old girl, she's a three-year-old girl. She can't help it, but she's three. And then maybe you're looking at her face and you
well,
can see her open wounds.
Too. She's a three-year-old girl.
But let's just say you're looking at her open wounds while you're eating your hamburger or your lasagna. And when you're looking at her, she can barely open her mouth, and maybe the cuts are coming out of her face, or maybe it's blistered, and you can see a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell you something. I left the restaurant because somebody picked her nose. I refused to be eaten with that. It made me sick. I did. I had a great dinner and everything, and then some idiot across, I mean, they were digging in their nose, and it's one of those, they dig in their nose and they look at it, and then they dig back. Would you leave?
No, I just wouldn't look anymore.
Well, you can't. He's right there in your vision. I go, that's it. Everybody, let's go. And you know what I did? I actually called the management. I said, you know what? I came in there and eat a meal. This guy is picking their nose, disturb my family, psychological thing, I need therapy. And they gave me my money back. Was I wrong?
Wrong.
Have you ever been to a restaurant where something is appalling and that you just had to leave? Or you just say, well, we're here, we've had to pay for the bill. I know you don't like to cook, but come on, there has to be something in that restaurant to make you leave.
I haven't, no.
Nothing? I went into a restaurant when we were kids, and this senior citizen about, I don't know, remember I was a kid, she must have been 76, and she was farting. She couldn't help herself, she was just farting. Would you leave the restaurant at that time? I mean, as a kid, I giggled and laughed.
Well, now that one probably
it.
Would, because you couldn't right. just turn away and not look at that. You'd have to smell it.
Right, you couldn't smell the food. Part of going to the restaurant
now,
is smelling the food.
That would be disturbing.
It happens. But I can morally, I know what you're saying. You pull on the heartstring, oh, the little girl, you know, her face got chewed off by puppies. I understand that.
Well,
I feel sorry for her.
She's just got some little scrapes. I mean, it's nothing, like I say, I just don't think it's worthy of anybody turning away a three-year-old little girl and sending her away. I mean, the kid's already scarred from the dog attacking her.
Right.
And why can't she just sit and have a meal without being asked to leave?
Well, maybe because if you're sitting across from her, so you're seeing a picture. Maybe the other people are seeing real-life wounds. And depending on how fresh those wounds are, I mean, it could be maybe they see a little bit of pus come out of her face or a little bit of blood or maybe she's scratching herself and then it's bleeding. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now
but
you
now
don't have a little
girl.
Now you don't have a little girl anymore. You got Chucky. Huh?
Yeah, but she scarred her far worse. It says that she left crying, and, I mean, now she's embarrassed of what she looks like. And
it's not the people's fault. It's her parents' fault. If you know, and it's her parents' fault. You know, when people have a...
That took her.
Well, there you go. She should be put in a hospice. There you go.
Oh.
See, this is why kids should not be around grandparents. They're crazy people. Because no matter what you do when you're a grandparent, no matter what's wrong with your kid, they're perfect. They're not perfect. And they take them to a restaurant where kids are pointing in life. What kind of grandmother is that? Put her in hospice right away. Euthanize her. That's sad.
Aww.
You can't blame the people who are eating. They have no, they're there, they're spending money and everything. Oh, here comes crazy grandma. Come on, my little kid. Yeah, you, Scarface. Come on.
Well,
if they had
a problem with it, why didn't they leave? I mean, I'm not blaming the customers. I'm blaming the management for allowing it to happen. I would say I would refund, if a customer complained, I would refund the customer's money and say, sorry, you can leave. That's the side
I would
taken.
Why would you do that, though? Is that, I mean, you lose all that money? And what about the cooks? What about the people in that restaurant, depending on their salary? They're still cooking the meal.
It's KFC, crying out loud. It's not going to go under because a restaurant of 10, 20 people decide to leave. They'll be back tomorrow.
You don't know. I'm maybe never eat chicken again.
But for crying out loud. It's a little girl.
Put her in a bucket.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, it's not like it was some struggling mom-and-pop shop.
Well, maybe it was one of those independent franchises. Just, you know, maybe it was a franchise, Kentucky KFC, and these people were trying to make a living. And when you're sitting there eating your chicken and gravy, and then you're looking at a face that is falling on a plate. I mean, you know, it's falling on the bucket. here's the thing, Kelly, that you're missing. Not just one person walked out. How many people walked out?
Nobody walked out. They didn't even say how many people actually complained or if anybody actually did complain. He just reported that it was disrupting customers.
Well, it's disrupting your customers. If you own a business and something disrupts your customers, what do you do as a good business person?
Well, depending on the circumstances, I mean, if the person was being a moron and acting up and carrying on and it was disrupting people, of course I'd ask that person to leave. But this was a three-year-old little girl who it wasn't her fault.
Well, it's not their fault. I mean, I'm going to be honest. If I had a Kentucky Fried Chicken place, excuse me, and a cute little puppy came in, and he poo-pooed on the carpet, and the customers
were
complaining.
Well, a puppy can't be in there.
Well, exactly. But what I'm trying to say is I would have to take that puppy, if it was disturbing my customers, I would have to take that puppy to a Korean restaurant and put him on the menu.
Well, yeah, because there's – oh. But there's laws against that. There's no law that says that somebody with – who's been in some sort of accident can't come into a restaurant and eat.
No, there's no laws, but see, here's what you're talking about. It's disturbing your clientele, your customers, who you're depending on to pay the bill and more people come in. Now they're going to talk about that little kid's face falling off. I mean, she has an eye patch, right? So she looks like a little pirate.
she should have gotten a Long John Silver's? Or
she should have got, yeah, she probably got a free fish. She should have made it into the, see, what the grandma should have done was dress up like Bluebeard.
Well, they would have came. You know, whenever something traumatic like that happens, and I recall a situation with my family, is whenever my little brother had to have stitches in his face. And, of course, my mom treated him to whatever he wanted afterwards. And so we went to a restaurant. We weren't asked to leave. And he had just, and he had an open, brand-new stitches cut across his face.
Well, times have changed. Now it's, I'm surprised people didn't take pictures of it on social media. You're saying you got a picture. Did somebody take a picture of the little kid?
Yeah,
why would they take
a picture? There's pictures in the video with some more pictures of her.
There's video of the kid in the restaurant?
No, it's a video, that it's a news report, and they show pictures on the news report.
So the news report said the kid had to leave the restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
All right, if you can send me that link, I'd like to play it, because maybe I'm being harsh. But if a kid, you know, every kid who's 3 years old looks cute. But apparently, if they're actually being disturbed by this kid, it made me think that maybe those wounds did not heal properly, or they weren't healed, and grandma, who is psycho, decides to say, come on, let's go to a public place where kids can point at you and mock you. It's not the people. It's grandma. Grandma should be locked up. Oh, she was attacked by a pit bull?
Yeah, three of them.
Ooh, ooh. Is this the kid I'm looking at right now with the eye? Looks like she has a condom over the left eye?
Yeah, in a little Minnie Mouse dress.
Oh, for Christ's sake. It says here, the grandmother of a three-year-old girl who was viciously attacked by three dogs says she was asked to leave at KFC. And KFC stands for what?
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
In this instance, it's a crazy fucking kid. Oh,
please, no one write me letters on this. I don't agree with what he just said.
Hello.
Thank you, McMahon. All right, back to the story about this little monster. All right, the grandmother of a three-year-old girl who was viciously attacked by the three dogs says she was asked to leave KFC. We all know what that stands for. Of course, it would have to be in Jackson, Mississippi. By an employee. Oh, you think that's funny?
It just dawned on me.
By an employee who said the girl scars were scaring other customers. They just told us, we have to ask you to leave because her face is disrupting our customers. Kelly Mullins said. Jackson, Mississippi, Kelly Mullins. This is too coincidental.
No kidding. I didn't read the story good enough.
She didn't read it for Kelly Mullins? Okay. Victoria,
I mean, I
Welker's.
Read it, but it didn't hit me.
Yeah, her grandmother's name is Kelly. She understood exactly what they said. Mullins said she was driving her granddaughter home from the hospital. From the hospital! She did not even give the kid's wounds chance to heal. In early June...
Like I said, I can picture it saying, whatever you want, kid, you know, let's get you a treat. And I mean, I remember that so clearly.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, KFC has a drive-thru. Why don't you just go through the drive-thru? Right from the hospital, you're going into a public restaurant where you still have your patch where
maybe
it
they
came
were
from
walking.
The hospital. Well, you're still from the hospital. They just treated her wounds, meaning they're not closed yet. They're still fresh wounds. What are you taking her to Kentucky Fried Chicken? You should be taking a kid home. This is what – see, Kelly's crazy. And here's what it said. She stopped by to KFC to get some mashed potatoes. The dog attack, Mullins explained, has made it difficult for her granddaughters to swallow. So it made it difficult for her to swallow, so I'm going to get her some crunchy chicken.
No, she got her mashed potatoes.
Oh, mashed potatoes, okay. The right side of her face is paralyzed, Mueller says. She's got a lot of surgeries to go through, and she won't even look in the mirror anymore when we go to the store. She doesn't even want to get out of the car. She's 3 years old, and she's embarrassed about what she looks like. The incident, Marlon said, left the girl in tears because basically grandma, you just showed her what she was afraid of. You didn't give her a chance to heal. She was under attack by three dogs. She's psychologically in fear. She just got from the hospital. And what do? Hey, let's go to Kentucky Fried Chicken in a public place where the kid is already afraid to get out of the car and everything to be mocked. So you now put her in a place where her fears are coming true. I know what she thought. You know what? Let me do a shock treatment. So grandma decides to put you in a public place where people were eating. She didn't take you to the park. She didn't take you to a ball game. She didn't take you to anything else. She put you in front of people who are eating when you just came out of a hospital. No matter what was wrong with this person, it's a person's difference. If a person is scarred or is a different color or anything, people shouldn't be discriminated against. Now, I hate when people yell discriminate. How is the person with the wrong color? What do you mean discriminated against? They always put that in. The only thing I'm surprised she did not put in is gay. She said this, no matter what's wrong with a person, if a person's different, if a person's scarred, or it's different color, or if it's a different color or anything, people shouldn't be discriminated. She wasn't discriminated against. People chose. There is no sign on that KFC saying, ugly kids do not come in. There's no sign. She wasn't discriminated against. She was in place, and people are so quick to say discrimination when they don't get their way. They always want to include everybody else. We have enough problems. Don't include us in theirs and your pirate kids. She used bad judgment. And it said here, so she had to say this, or anything shouldn't be discriminated against. Her being a three-year-old and already being discriminated against, it makes me mad. Because I know for the rest of her life it's going to be like that. No, it's not. No, it's not. She's three. And if you give her proper therapy and her friends and her scars heal, you don't take a kid fresh from the hospital, put her in the public, and people eat and see the pus and the open sores or the this or even the gauze can get dirty and you have to change the gauze. The doctors will tell you, change your gauze every 3 hours. That tells you the gauze is going to get dirty. So you're going to put her in a restaurant where people are going to eat. And if they're complaining over a three-year-old, you know damn well this is gross. Would you admit that, Kelly?
Do I
is your mic off?
No, it's on. I'm just at a loss of words. What are you asking me? It's right?
Well, what I'm saying is if people – there are – I have – you walked in restaurants and you have seen ugly people, right? Have you – you still eat – you don't look at the ugly people, but you know they're ugly. But when somebody actually gets up and complains, you know this has to be pretty bad. If you're seeing –
they don't ever say that people complain, do they?
Well, it did. It says here by an employee who said this girl scars were scaring other customers. They were scaring other customers. So how would they know if it was scaring other customers if they weren't making a scene out of it? Apparently they made such a scene that made the little girl cry.
Right.
KFC said it is investigating. Yeah, I always like companies like this. We're investigating it. What do you mean we're investigating it? I hate when companies say, oh, that's terrible. Let's investigate it. Okay, here's what you investigate. A girl comes in with a patch. Her wounds are not healed. People, customers were complaining. They walked out. What's your investigation? You had nothing to do with this. What are you investigating? That a kid came in dressed like a Muppet pirate? I don't understand this. Anyway, that means we're going to stall some time for this to blow over so you guys don't not shop with us. That's basically what that means. We're investigating it, so it'll blow over. And here's what KFC says. We take this very seriously. As we have zero tolerance for any kind of hurtful and or disrespectful actions towards our guests. but you're talking as an employee to your guest. You're not talking as guest to guest. So this has nothing to do, what do you mean, any kind of hurtful and disrespectful actions towards our guests? You're talking guest to guest, not your employee to guest. That only applies that. Rick Maynard said in a statement, our investigation is ongoing, but we have been in touch with the family, and we are committed to do something appropriate for this beautiful little girl and her family. Here's a coupon, and you get some free bucket of chicken that we slaughtered and killed, and we keep in a little tiny bin that is very inhumane until we chop their heads off and peel their feathers, and we cook them in rice for you. But we're going to make sure we do something right. To take appropriate action at this restaurant once the specifics of the incident is determined. Not surprisingly, her story has gone viral. A Facebook page launched in April to give friends updates on Victoria's recovery has garnered more than 30,000 likes, thanks in large part to a post of the experience at KFC. So KFC is saying, here's KFC. Please accept our sincere apologies while we try to investigate this incident, the restaurant wrote in a comment. If you could help provide details of the incident, we will look into it immediately. Okay, here's a detail. Customers were in your restaurant. They ate your dinner. They looked at the girl. They felt sick. They walked out. End of investigate. What is more than investigate? It's guest against guest. Shut up, Kelly. Give me KFC. We will look into it immediately. We have zero tolerance of any kind of disrespectful behavior on our team. Once we have further details, we will immediately investigate this and take action. We wish nothing but the best for this Victoria in her recovery. Then they have a donation page set up to help Victoria's family pay her medical bills. They raised $20,000 already. An investigator said three pit bulls attacked Victoria, the backyard of her grandfather's home. See, grandparents again, don't leave your children with your grandparents. Grandparents are not responsible people. They're senile old coots who don't have anything to live for. That's your problem. Grandparents are bad. Right, Kelly?
No.
All right. Go ahead and baby them. I see the problem is this woman is leaving the kids with the grandfather. As soon as she leaves the kid with the grandfather, her face gets chewed off by dogs. Then on top of that, the grandmother takes her out for chicken. And now this happens. This leads back to grandparents are bad people. Case closed. I solved the case. Let's see. You want to hear the story by somebody else? Okay, wait. You gave me this story. Oh, you gave me the KFC number? Is that the KFC number?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to really
call
them?
That other link is a closer-up picture of the little girl's face. I just don't find it offensive.
All right, let me see this link. This is little girl's face? Okay, here we go. Let me take a look at this. Ah! And that was a real reaction.
Oh.
Wow. Wow. You know what? She's a brave little girl. You know what's funny about this picture?
What?
She has scars. She has a little patch, little cute little patch covering the eye with a happy face. She has scars on her lips, like the corner of her mouth. You can see they're bite marks.
Mm-hmm.
She has bite marks on her neck. But you know what's funny about this picture? She's smiling. She's a brave little girl. She's such a brave little girl. I changed my views. That little girl should go kick their ass. She's such a brave little girl. We had enough news coverage, but thanks for caring. A beautiful little girl. She is welcome to dine at my table anytime. Shut up, you pervert. Thank you for your support for Victoria. If you would like to file a complaint, what are you filing a case? This has nothing to do. You know, people are so. This is why food and insurance is so high. This had nothing to do with Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's not like the employees were making fun of her or they got bad service. This was a guest. So why are you going against Kentucky? I don't think it's fair. Do you, Kelly? I don't think it's fair.
Well, I mean, this is a representative of their company that asked her to leave.
Oh, they asked her to leave?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's not fair. You go kick their ass, little girl. I'm going to call them right now.
Cute,
is this their number? But it's 800 number.
Right,
you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen with an 800 number.
Oh, probably. Wink,
you know
wink,
what's
going to
happen. Yeah, no, it's okay. There's nothing I can say. I mean, they're doing the right thing. You know what they did? They're doing the right thing. In fact, I'm on Kentucky's site, and the thing that they're doing is they raised $20,000 to help pay for her medical bills. So
yeah.
In essence, her mother did, or her grandmother did the right thing. You know, these people don't have that much money by taking her there. Everybody's behind her. She's going to get good friends. She's got a good support system now. They're raising money for her medical bills. And good things going to happen out of this.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the scars of this little girl. She's not going to be scarred. Well, they said her face is paralyzed, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, poor little girl. All right, let's see if we can hear the story. Let me see if I can hear the story.
Kelly Mullen says no child should experience what she says her granddaughter happened to her at KFC.
I wanted to hit the lady, and that ain't gonna stop nothing.
Kelly Mullins was furious at what an employee at KFC on Meadowbrook Road said about her granddaughter, Victoria.
They just told us, they said, we have to ask you to leave because her face is disrupting our customers.
And when she was asked to leave this KFC, she put the child in the car. She said 3-year-old Victoria knew exactly what happened.
She just cried all the way home. And now when we go somewhere, she don't want to get out. She won't look in the mirror.
Victoria's grandfather's pit bull attacked her a few months ago, leaving her face covered in scars and Victoria needing months of treatment.
I think she surprised everybody, you know, even the doctors and nurses.
That's a blessing.
She's a fighter.
After what happened at KFC, her family posted this to Facebook. Does this face look scary to you? And they continue to say, I personally will never step foot in another KFC again. Almost immediately, people flooded KFC's Twitter page. Soon after, the restaurant chain released this statement. Our company would never tolerate this type of disrespectful behavior towards any of our guests and promised to get to the bottom of it.
She's 3, and she's embarrassed. She's worried about what she looks like. She's embarrassed. And I hate it because she shouldn't be. It ain't her fault. I know. The rest of her life is going to be people like that.
But that's not keeping Victoria down.
Bye.
Bye. And KFC says they're talking to the family to figure out exactly what happened. As for the dogs, all 3 have been put down. In the newsroom, Jennifer Ortega, 16, WAPT News.
Your heart just aches for that little girl. All
right, wow. I didn't realize that story.
If you need a vehicle.
I was under the impression that it was, you know, the customers were making their, you know, this, and I didn't know they were asked to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And KFC asked him to leave?
Yep.
Oh. Now I don't like him. Now I don't like him.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty cold.
That is. That is cold. That is cool. I'm looking at her face right now. She does have the scars. I mean, with plastic surgery, if they can make Michael Jackson white, they can fix her up with plastic surgery. She's smiling. What a brave, beautiful little girl. You know, who could do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
All right, little girl. We got to find who they are and give them a call live, Kelly.
The little girl family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's a. I don't want to. You know, she's just a brave little girl. But I'm glad KFC is trying to do the right thing. They raised $20,000. The corporation, you know, when you're, you know, there's people, and they're on it. They're gonna do. They'll do the right thing. You know that?
All right.
Yeah. All right. Today's show is brought to you by Max Ivy. MidwayMarketplace.com. Kelly, what does MidwayMarketplace.com do?
They help people buy, sell, and trade new and used amusement, concession, and confection equipment, and also offer free appraisals.
There you go. And that's MidwayMarketplace.com, Max Ivey. He also has a campaign going on, and Max is on Twitter at Mr. Midway. Just search for at Mr. Midway. He will answer your calls. If you have any kind of equipment, and it doesn't have to be equipment, I mean just regular people, hacksaw, landscaping equipment, anything you want to list for people to buy, you contact Max Ivey with MidwayMarketplace.com. That's MidwayMarketplace.com. List your equipment, and you can go there and get some good deals, too. Max keeps us on the air. He is the sponsor of Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Ellen's taking care of personal business. We also have another sponsor, Loretta's. I keep getting the praline.
Right. Loretta's authentic praline.
Yeah. And, I mean, wow, it's the potato, sweet potato cookie. And then king cake. And they have two shops going on right now. But here's the thing. They're a Louisiana bakery, baby. Mm. And if you're out in California, Texas, wherever, now Loretta is online. So you can order the king cake and you can order the sweet potato cookie. If we have time, you should hear Loretta cook her little thing here. Right, Kelly? She cooks
That's
it.
That's right.
She cooks it. Home cooking. She cooked it. All right, everybody. Kelly's coming back. You don't want to miss this because she's coming back with the entertainment report. And you got some good entertainment, don't you, Kelly?
I have the top 10 at the box office this weekend.
Okay, we'll go to the top 10. We'll go really fast in the top 10.
I actually have one entertainment. Did you hear about the rant that Kanye West went off on his at his concert the other night, and I guess he really dissed Jay-Z and Beyonce for not attending his wedding and the fight that Jay-Z and Solange were into and all of that. I guess he really went on a rampage. He's ready to go after Disney now is what he said during the midst of all that rampage. It was crazy. I listened to a little bit of it, and it was just crazy.
You have the URL on that one?
His rocker.
Is that on YouTube?
You know, it probably is. Let me see if I can pull up a YouTube because I'm sure it will be because I know I saw the video myself.
Please do. If you can find it on YouTube when we come back, I'd like to hear it. I'm telling you, it's the curse of the Kardashians. It's the curse.
Mm-hmm.
Every time the Kardashians get involved with someone else, their whole lives go down to hell. These guys were friends. This guy was the one who came up on stage with that little-known singer. What's her name? Who says that Beyonce had a better video. What's that country singer name? What is her name? I don't know.
Oh, Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Taylor Swift was not even known then, but Kanye West came on stage to say that she didn't deserve it. She thought Beyonce deserved it, who was a best friend of Jay-Z and Beyonce. Now he's dissing them? I'm telling you, the curse of the Kardashian is very powerful. Because, you know, don't we black people have enough problems? And you find somebody with a big booty, does a sex tape, and you think, I want to marry her and have a baby. You got to be out of your freaking mind.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is this it right here? Let me see. Oh, yeah, this
There's
is
several
it.
Videos on it.
Wait
yeah.
a minute. Well, I just had Kanye. Well, which one is it? I have Kanye West freaked out Bonaro.
Yeah,
is that
Bonnaroo.
His rat? Is that his rat? All right, let's see if we can hear it. Let me see. Let's see if we can hear it.
Nobody on the radio. I'm going after Shakespeare. I'm going after Walt Disney. I'm going after Howard Hughes. I'm going after David Stern. I'm going after Henry Ford. I'm going after Elon Musk. Okay, he is living, but that's my boy. Whether you believe it or not, whether you believe it or not, you can only achieve as high as you believe. You can only achieve as high as you believe. You can only achieve as high as you believe.
While he's talking, people are walking out on this. I mean, droves.
Yeah, they were booing him and stuff. The video I saw, they were booing him and everything.
yeah, it's like they're walking out in droves. He's just babbling. He's in his own world. He's in that Kim Kardashian world. Where's that bubble? Some people call it her ass. They're in that. You know, these Kardashians must be stopped. They must be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And how you stop a Kardashian is, first of all, don't buy any of their products.
Exactly.
Boycott any shows that they're on. Leave them as Twitter followers. I mean, if your life's so bad that you have to follow them and see their life is a mess and make you feel better, this is ridiculous. And Kanye West, who cares? To me, is a no-talented bum anyway, a mama's boy. He lost his mama and he ran to somebody like a Kris Jenner, and you're getting this. This is what you're
mm-hmm.
getting. They're even saying she's a gold digger. Do you hear him?
Mm-hmm.
They're calling. Can't this fool see his life is falling apart?
Yeah,
can't
I don't
this
think
fool
can see it yet?
Oh, let's listen to this. To stand here while I'm so fucked up with it. Oh man, the man is just nuts.
Yep, it's true.
What do you think, Kelly?
Oh, I think he's out of his mind. He's got an illusion of who he is and who his wife is. And the only one I feel sorry for in all of this is the daughter. You know, she didn't ask to be born into this mess, but she's going to be living it down her whole life.
No, they're looking at her as the next, because Kim's getting old, Khloe's people getting bored, the Jenners are coming up. So it's all, I think they had a kid out of a publicity stunt, tell you the truth. This is like the sex tape beyond. Let's do some, you know, this is like the sex tape.
They haven't been with the kid in a whole year. It's like they've been on a wedding tour for a month and a half. And
what
it's
is this?
Just like, where is the kid? Oh, these are some signs. I guess I guess this isn't the first time Kanye's acted up at this Bonnaroo concert and says people didn't forget, and they're showing the signs where they're just slamming him left and right.
Yeah, it says here, Kanye, thanks to you, Kanye West is still not very popular at Bonnaroo, and it has a mural that says where the press at, and hashtag fuck Kanye, and there's mirrors of penises that is pissing on him.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday night, Kanye West got a chance to redeem himself at Bonnaroo following a disastrous set in 2008. However, it seems not everyone was wooed by Jesus, as these photographs proves the anti-Kanye sentiment is still alive and well on the farm. Wow. Fuck Kanye. Remember their son. Piss on him. And dare Kanye and Kim give a better performance. Kim gave a better performance. Oh, that's nasty. Dare Kanye, Kim gave a better performance. Ooh.
Yeah,
wow. Wow, it goes, look, it's Kanye, and it's a toilet. This guy, this woman has a tattoo on herself that says, hashtag fuck Kanye. How you spell it? Is it Kanye West or Kanye? What's his name?
Kanye.
Fuck Kanye West. Rue never forgets Kanye. Hashtag gay fish. Wow.
Yeah, I guess they're calling him a gay fish.
Yeah. And here's a person that says, there was also a lot of people supporting Kanye. And there was artwork all around Bonnaroo that proves that. But does cause report on that? No, but they want to make Kanye fuck the media comment and blah, blah, blah. So much. Wow. This fool is just, why would you, this fool is just crazy. You know what I mean?
Just crazy.
Yeah, he is. All right, we'll be back with your entertainment report.
She takes my money. Well, I'm in need. Yes, yeah, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger. Way over town. That digs on me. She killed me, mom.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger.
I'm in need.
But she ain't messing with no broke.
She killed me, mom.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger.
I'm in need.
But she ain't messing with no broke. Broke. Get down, girl. Go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead.
She
need a bomb, met her at a beauty salon with a baby Louis Vuitton under her underarm. She said, I can tell you rock, I can tell by your charm. Boss girl, you got a flock, I can tell by your charm and your arm. But I'm looking for the one, have you seen her? My psychic told me she have a sex arena. Trina, Gina, for Lopez, four kids. And I gotta take all they bad. Okay, get your kids, but then they got their friends. I put up in the bins, they all got a pen. We all went to den, and then I had to pay. If you're with this girl, then you better be paid. You know why? Take too much to touch her. From what I heard, she got a baby by Buster. My best friend said she used to f*** with Usher. I don't care what none of y'all say, I still love her. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. For 18 years, I know somebody paying child support for one of his kids. Your baby mama car crib is bigger than his. You was on TV any given Sunday. Win a Super Bowl and drive off in a Hyundai. She was supposed to buy your shorty Tyco with your money. She went to the doctor, got LiPo with your money. She walk around looking like Michael with your money. Should've got that insured Geico for your money. If you ain't no punk, holla, we want freedom. We want freedom. Yeah. It's something that you need to have. And when she leave, yo, she gon' leave with half. 18 years, and on her 18th birthday, found out it wasn't his. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Gold digger, you got knees. You don't want a dude to smoke, but he can't buy. You go out to eat, he can't pay, y'all can't leave. His sister's in the back, you gotta roll up your sleeves. But while y'all watch him, he gon' make it to a Benz out of that Tyson. He got that ambition, baby. Look at his eyes. This week he mopping floors, next week is a surprise. So stick by his side. I know his dude's falling, and yeah, that's nice. And they gon' keep calling and trying, but you stay right, girl. And when he get on, he leave your for a white girl. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead. Let me hear that back.
Hello, my name is Larry Russ, former keyboardist and vocalist for Iron Butterfly, 1999 to 2005. And when I want to listen to great talk radio, I listen to Brian the Hammer Show on BT Radio.
All right, Kelly, let's bring in the entertainment. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. To wait till they quiet down so they don't want to shut up. You know what I mean? Thank you. Thank you. They love me. And now, for the entertainment report, box office. And without us, our entertainment reporter, Kelly
Corbin! Yeah. Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
How you like that intro?
That was pretty crazy.
Number 10.
Number 10 at the box office was Million Dollar Arm. Sorry, say Million Dollar Man. Million Dollar Arm. It brought in $716,000 over the weekend. It's their fifth week out. They've totaled $33,383,000, and their budget was $25 million.
I have no idea what that movie is.
The Million Dollar Arm?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not so real sure of it myself.
Okay. And how about number 9?
Number 9 is Neighbors. It had a weekend.
I love it.
$2,484,000. It's their sixth week out, and they've made $143,137,000 so far, and their budget was only $18
million. Wow. $18 million? They made over 100 and something million?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Yep, over $143 million, right.
I saw the previews at the theater. I'm telling you, it's so funny. I want to see it so bad. They did it well done. Okay, number
8. Number 8 is A Million Ways to Die in the West. It made
$2,077,000. Go ahead. I said that I had high hopes for that. I thought it was going to be the new Blazing Saddles, but I guess people are not liking it. How much did it make?
Over the weekend, it made $3,077,000, and it's been out for 3 weeks with a total of $38,937,000, but it does not list the budget.
That's because there's a lot of back-end deals going on there. So that tells me they pulled a profit. That tells me a lot of actors and friends came in, and there's some back-end deals. So they pulled $38 million. So I think those guys broke out pretty – they probably got a good $2 million off of it. It's not bad. $38 million, how long has it been out?
It's been out 3 weeks.
Oh, boy. Ooh, pretty bad. How many theaters does it say?
It's in 2,413 theaters.
Oh, that's a lot of theaters, too. Ooh.
It's kind of in the middle range, yeah.
Ooh, that sucks. All right, next one, number 7.
Number 7 is Godzilla. Made $3,155,000 over the weekend. It's been out 5 weeks, making a total of $191,301,000. And the budget was $160 million.
See, it's been out how long?
It's been out 5 weeks.
Okay, it's a bomb.
In 2,088 theaters.
Yeah, it's a bomb. I mean, if it made, was $191 million?
Yeah, over $191 million.
And it cost how much to make?
$160 million.
So it made only $30
million? This far, yes.
And it's been out for 6 weeks?
5 weeks.
Oh, that's shit. When you saw it, when did you see it? About 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I saw it the opening weekend.
So it went from number 1 to number 7 in 3 weeks?
In 5 weeks. Or wait, what did I say? 5 weeks.
You said, oh, my God. Yep, that stakes got screwed. The lizard screwed them. All right.
Still in the top 10 after 5 weeks. That's not too shabby.
Yeah, but the top 10 is shit. It is really bad. I mean, this is a summer blockbuster. I mean, when we get to number 1, you can see the difference. I mean, they only made $30 million on that movie. Look at it that way.
Because
when you saw it, you said people were lying. There was lines that was being sold out, and that's all publicity BS. Because of the, you know, when they start making $100 million movies, which is ridiculous, you're not going to make no money unless it's a Walt Disney thing. You're not going to make no money. Why would you make a Godzilla $100-something million and only pulled in a 190? You go, we made $191 million. Oh shit, we actually only made $30 million. Sucks. You suck. I would fire those people. I would kill Godzilla. Bring back King Kong. Bring back the monkey. Next one, Kelly.
Number six is X-Men, Days of Future Past. It brought in $9,500,000 over the weekend. It's been out for 4 weeks with a total of $205,940,000, and the budget was $200 million.
What? The budget was $200 million? What are you paying for? I lost my mind when the budget was $100 million. $200 million? Okay, this is a lesson. Your budget's $200 million. You're coming in at number what, seven? Or you dropped to number seven. Whatever. How much did the movie make? Gross, all? How much did it gross?
$205,940,000.
$205 million. And the movie cost how much?
$200.
You made $5 million. That's how much you pay for advertising on all the channels to see this stupid movie. Who makes a movie for $200 million? This is the only business I know. Wow, we made over $200 million. Oh, we're shit. We're in a hole.
It'd be interesting to see how much of that budget is spent on advertising now that you mention it, because that would be written into the budget costs. And they did do a ton of publicity for that movie, so I'm wondering what their budgeting out of that $200 million actually was.
$5 million you made, and you've been out in the box office for 3 or 4 weeks, and it's going downhill from there. Suck! It just killed the franchise. You X-Men franchises. I'll tell you what killed the franchise: Halle Berry not being naked. You put Halle Berry back in that blue suit, and maybe you get a hint of a nipple. Your ratings go up. All right, Kelly. I can't teach everybody how to make movies. What's the next one?
Number five: The Fault in Our Stars.
What the hell? Is that about the handicapped kids? With the one woman has the oxygen tank, and the other guy, what does he have? What legs?
Right.
Oh, for Christ's sake. But let me tell you something. The numbers are good on this one. What are the numbers?
They made $15,725,000 over the weekend. They've been out two weeks, and they've made $81,700,000 total, and their budget was only $12 million.
That's how you make a Hollywood movie. You get a couple of kids, one kid with a wooden foot and the other woman with an oxygen tank. She's dying. They love each other. He kisses her goodbye, seen it a million times. He buries her. Boo-hoo, tearjerker. Hallelujah. First love. You know that always gets people to the box office? First love. You know my movie that got me with the first love? I remember the movie.
Mm-mm.
It was first love movie, The Summer of 42. Remember The Summer of 42?
I remember there's a movie of that name. I don't remember ever seeing it.
Best movie ever made. Let me tell you about The Summer. And the reason you cannot make that movie today, because it's a politically correct world and people are morons. Beautiful story. Gorgeous story. It's about these kids. And I would say these kids are maybe, I would say, if I remember, 12, 13, 14. And they used to, from school, they used to go to these bushes. And they watched this lady. She happens to be, back in those days, she was a divorcee. Ooh. Being coined a divorcee back in those days, that means you're horny. And they used to watch her undress and everything. Great love story. Beautiful love story. And it ends up that she makes love to one of the boys. It was the best summer he ever had. It was the best summer I ever had.
Okay.
Summer of 42. Now, that's how you make a true romance movie. True romance! You can't make movies like that today, because you know why? These left-wing liberals are going, hell, child support, rape. The kid was happy. There was nothing wrong with that kid. I forgot the actress in The Summer of 42. Oh, my God, I fell in love with her. God, we got to look it up. Hold on one second. Is this who I think it is, Mr. Chris Yonke?
Well, it depends on what you think of this person you're talking to. I just called in to say good morning. I hear controversy on the Hammer Show. I heard it, and I'm called in. So what's going on? What has got you so upset?
I'm going to tell you, Chris. You could probably remember this. Remember the movie Summer of 42?
No, actually, school me on that one. I was probably watching the Ghostbusters
really?
On Betamax. Dude, I was watching the Ghostbusters on Betamax. I'm sorry. Poor family.
Oh.
I know. Great.
Yeah. Beautiful movie. Kelly, could you bring that up to Summer of 42? I forgot who was the actress. Oh, my God. Chris,
I'm
is
on
a beautiful
it.
Story. It's about these kids. Remember Porky's?
Yeah, well, yeah. It's 1971. I mean, seriously, wow, and Nantucket Island off the coast of Cape Cod, this is like Canadian romance. I'm like, you know, I hear that it, I mean, there it is, drenched in nostalgia. It's definitely got some beat-off material in it, it looks like. Just,
right.
I don't recognize any of the cast names, though, in that Summer of 42.
What was the leading actress?
Jennifer O'Neill.
Oh,
really? Oh.
Ryan O'Neill and Jennifer O'Neill, is there any relation between that?
I don't know, but she was so freaking hot. But that's my point. Remember, Chris, you can't make movies like that in this politically correct world. You cannot make a Porky's anymore because it looked like child molestation. You know what I mean? Pervertiveness. That was how kids grew up. Remember those days? They were the fun days.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, though, is before people, people started stalking, raping, and killing people. I mean, or maybe they always did. They just didn't report it, you know. He had a mild case of obsession, you know. I do. Obviously, Porky is, you know, everybody's favorite scene, of course, is a girl moaning when her and the gym teacher are fucking up, you know, over the PA, somebody turns the PA on, so everybody's sitting there listening to it. And, you know, obviously that was a pretty humorous scene.
You think we can make a movie, Chris, honest, and Kelly, honest, do you think we can make a movie of an older woman falling in love with a young, we can go with, what's another one? What's in one of Mrs. Robinson? What's another one?
With The Graduate? Oh, yeah.
The Graduate. The Graduate is another one.
Elizabeth Taylor was in a movie where she basically bangs the pool boy and rubs it in Henry Fonda's face. I don't remember the name of the movie, but it was in the early 60s when that one popped out.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I'll say something that'll blow your freaking mind.
Okay.
I'll say, with this politically correct world, it will blow your frickin' mind. And we didn't think anything of it back then in the 80s and the 70s and the 80s. You know these horror movies like Friday the 13th, Freddy Krueger and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, the ones I went to.
Yeah, me too. But what was so cool about that is that you had teenagers making love. Now, there are supposed to be teenagers. Just get this in your head. There are supposed to be teenagers always running off into the woods or somewhere having sex, right? And they showed it, right? Well, you know, as much as they could. You know they're having sex.
Well, yeah.
But
they were committing sins, so they had to die.
They were But the fact of the matter is that we showed teenagers having sex on screen. With this politically correct world, could we get away with it? Nowadays, if you see these horror films now and in the year 2000 on, you do not see. And then you see the teenagers, and they're supposed to be 20 teenagers. We already know they're 23, 24, because she was always run with her big titties in the forest running from the guy and in slow motion, and they're flopping back and forth. I paid money to see that.
With their class of 1998, you know, tattoo on her back,
Yeah.
The thing about a lot of that stuff, I'm going to let you finish your thought, though. I'll go ahead and step back for a second here.
I'm just saying, could we get away with that? Because if you look at our movies nowadays and these horror films and whatever nowadays, we could not get away with this politically correct world. You will not see teenagers having sex. as explicitly as they were in the 70s and the 80s.
Well,
and that,
I think there's a paradigm shift here because when we say, could we get away with it, you know,
mm-hmm.
we're not trying to pull one over. I mean, when we're creating a movie and we're creating this, you know, you have to suspend your disbelief. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
Gabe had to do it in real life. You know, I always talk about Gabe rolling a wheelchair across the country and now Israel. And I want to share with you guys the brand new video that somebody came in and shot. He met us
mm-hmm.
last year, and he basically what was happening is Friday the Hammer Show let us come on and let Gabe tell point blank what would motivate a guy to get up one day and decide, you know, hey, I was addicted to drugs, and because of my sexual dysfunction resulting from my accident, suddenly I was going to do something different. And when you say to me, could we get away with having teenagers have sex on the screen, what would we be trying to accomplish? I mean, they would say on one hand, you're setting a bad example, as if
mm-hmm.
teenagers don't already think about having sex, because, no,
mm-hmm.
raging hormones don't immediately lead to breeding. You know, which is about
mm-hmm.
how 30% of the people 40 now arrive on this planet. That's how I got
mm-hmm.
here. I had teenage parents. They might not be able to graduate high school, but there's something else they can do. So
mm-hmm.
I get it. My question to you in terms of filmmaking is this. The answer to your question shortly, no, we could not. You know, if we were showing teenagers having sex, would we be doing it because we show that hormones and love can create a dysfunction and that at that age? Because I know, you know, I was a 16, 17-year-old boy who wanted to tell the girls anything I could, obviously. And, I didn't get around to anybody even coming close to me until I was 17. And
mm-hmm.
apparently I was terrible at it because it didn't happen again until I was 18. I didn't know if I should take that personally. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, would we be sending a viewpoint to people if we were making a movie about how sex and love can confuse at an early age? Maybe we could. But if
mm-hmm.
it was just a chop these fucking kids up and show some, you know, nice chest. No, screw that. Go download a porn movie, you know. And
mm-hmm.
so if we made a film that told teenagers, of course we know you can. That's the restraint of adulthood, is you can do
mm-hmm.
anything you want. You asked me when
mm-hmm.
I was 7 years old, hey, Chris, what are you going to do when you grow up? You know what I wanted to do when I grew up at age 7? I wanted to go buy a birthday cake anytime I wanted. And
mm-hmm.
be able to eat it. When you're 7 years old, that's about all. And if I wanted to, you know, obviously at the time, my favorite toys, I was going to be able to do whatever and go to bed whenever I wanted when I was 7 years old. Now, I'm 40. I might still want to eat birthday cake, but I can't because we all know there's a risk there. And when you're a teenager and those hormones are coursing your body, you know, I mean, like I said, all I need is a power drill and some soft drywall, and I don't need a girlfriend. That just does it to you. So that's an editorialized answer. It's very long. I'm sorry. I do want to share with you Gabe's new video or talk about it. Share or talk.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to do it. But to answer
mm-hmm.
your question, no, we could never get away with anything in Hollywood. But if we wanted to make a movie about teenagers having sex, I would say, let's find a way to try to further the cause of their understanding. Because let's face it, folks, misunderstanding of sex and love, something we all want to possess, these aren't things that people can possess. It's something they can develop. It's something they can grow. It's something they can, you know, quote unquote, have but not possess. And I know that sounds like a bunch of philosophy and nonsense and LSD, but the reality of the situation is that if we're going to rely on visuals to sell our movies, you know, from the 1970s, you know, where you'd see the fake blood when the axe would, in Friday the 13th, the axe would sort of fall out of the shadows, and you'd see this giant splurt of red paint all across the wall, you know, like a big splat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd
mm-hmm.
see, you know, the person's obviously wooden head split in half, but somehow
mm-hmm.
they're still screaming, even though their vocal cords are chopped in half, you know. So we, you know, we don't rely on those visuals. You know, that shock effect has, especially in American society, I think we're past that now. It's like we don't. So, all right, that's all right. All right, I'm going to stop there.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking while you're talking, I'm thinking movies like American Graffiti.
Saw.
And you may say, well, what is American Graffiti hat? Well, if you look at the American Graffiti, it was about teenagers buying beer. That
yeah.
time with Ron
know,
Howard. It wasn't Ron Howard. It's the other guy who wanted to get the beer for the girl because they wanted to get drunk in a car. And you know, the bad kids. We could not do movies like that anymore. When I say teenagers having sex, I'm saying every time on Friday the 13th or Freddy Krueger when they're sleeping, there's always teenagers. There's always three types of teenagers. The stoner, the bad boy, the slut. And the slut always takes the boy in there, and he's always the innocent boy. He's going to have his first time. The stoner is always looking for weed, and if the athlete who's all that, who you get these things, but you couldn't do it.
It's
today.
Like the Breakfast Club, you know, the Breakfast Club character cast is applied in all these different genres.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, that's supposed to represent the slice of our society.
But you couldn't play it like American Pie, which is I think was brilliant writing. And there's supposed to be teenagers in high school, and he does a selfie, and he does a sex thing. I'm just saying how we look at sex in year 2002. If you look at the movies, they cut all that out. Even horror films, you won't even see a boobie anymore. They go right to the violence. Forget about the sex whatsoever. If there's an innuendo of sex, you won't see it. They'll just come out of the room together. You're not going to be there because it's how we think in a year. Our PC, politically correct way of thinking, has screwed up our movie making. Kelly?
I tend to agree.
Okay, hold on. I think 504, is this who I think it is? Hello, 504.
Hey.
How you doing, sweetheart? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ellen Johnson Dixon. How you doing, kiddo?
I'm doing good.
Okay, you sound good. Everything okay?
Yeah, we have another appointment tomorrow with
okay.
Children's Hospital. So.
Yeah, so Ellen's having a situation with her daughter. And I gave her an emotional, motivational pep talk, didn't I, Ellen?
Yes, you did.
And so are we allowed to ask, how much did that help? what did you say, Hammer? What did you say?
I said everything politically correctly, didn't I, Ellen?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, just stayed within the confines of good
days. I don't know.
Yeah. The FCC
she knows I care. She knows I care, and I did it my way. Right, Ellen?
And I did it my way.
I did it my way. All right. We got Kelly still hanging on. Kelly, number five.
Number five is the – no, that was number five. Sorry. The number four is Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, wait. Do we have a soundbite? Wait. Do we have a soundbite on number four?
Really?
Oh, for Edge of Tomorrow?
Yeah. Wait a minute. I think we have a sound.
Oh, God. Are you guys doing the box office top 10 from the weekend?
Yeah.
You're going to laugh your ass off.
No.
Don't worry. Have you guys done Drag?
Not the
they don't like me to play the special effects at least up to number four.
No, number two.
No, okay. So number four is fine.
Well, no, actually, it's Fred, Ned, and Ted, or whatever. They've got
more
heads.
Fred, Ned, and Ted with great head.
Yes.
Hey, do you remember that Right Said Fred? I was trying to be so funny, and I set the joke in too early the other night when I was playing with you guys on Facebook. Damn it, I thought I was cool. we were all talking on Facebook, and I'm like, that's what I Right Said Fred, and I realized that wasn't very funny.
Well,
I was trying to be
funny. The video was funny enough, but Kelly kind of skated this time because I cannot find – oh, wait a minute. Here we go. Number four. Wait.
Seriously?
Here we go. Number four. Hold on, Kelly. Number
Ladies
four.
Ladies and gentlemen, the quadratic equation.
One, two, three, four. I'm Ed, Ted, Ned, and Fred. I've got more than one head. In fact, yes, I've got four.
Woo!
One, two, three, four.
Oh, my gosh.
Number four, Kelly.
Number four is The Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
They made a weekend of $16,175,000. They're in their second week. Total intake is $56,649,000 and a budget of $178 million.
Oh, my God.
So the, are they,
oh.
they're just, what's their total take so far?
Their total take so far is 56,649,000.
U.S. only?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was going to say, because globally, that movie just killed it in China and Russia. I mean, like, which is weird. I wouldn't think that Eastern Europe would be part of it. But, yeah, that what's really funny is it's doing better overseas than it is here.
Yeah, it's just, even then, it's still 100 and something. They're not going to make it. It's a bomb. They're not going to make what it's worth. I don't think so. I think you have to make twice.
Yeah, I think they're going to make it because Tom Cruise has got some real sex appeal. That's what he said.
Who's playing that song? I'm too sexy.
Wait, I don't know who's playing that song. I mean, what, you can hear it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not watching it. Oh, yeah, sorry. I guess I just keep playing that soundbite. Is it you guys can actually hear that on the radio? I guess I better turn it off. I don't want to get trademarked to death. Yeah, right.
Oh,
said
man.
Fred. Yeah, boy, he's so straight. Oh, God. Yeah, right. And anyways, so Ned, Ted, and Fred, right said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got
Ed's
more than
tomorrow.
One hit. Yeah.
No, he doesn't need one. I went and saw that the week before when they did their whole red carpet premiere, and across the street at El Capitan, Maleficent happened to be premiering, and that was when Brad Pitt got roughed up and in our line across the street because the paparazzi, you know, wasn't paying attention to us. Tom Cruise is in New York. He started in Paris, and he went to London, and he went to New York, and he watched the movie in each one of those, cities. And so by the time we got him, we were doing the whole telecast thing. So we were just the losers that got the free ticket. And across the street, you can see just all this chaos and all this craziness. And believe it or not, Edge of Tomorrow didn't even fill the Grauman's Chinese Theater. You know, it's TCL now, I think is what it is. But, yeah, it was really, really, really funny. But, yeah, our line, we had some fist fights because it was a mess, Hammer. It was a freaking riot. But I watched that movie. And I remember thinking, you know, it's not very long, but it's paced right, it goes right. And what's funny about it, even if you're not a movie person, you're not in the industry or whatever, what it does is my first thought was, oh, shit, this is going to be like Halo made into a movie, you know, where this person keeps sort of respawning, so to speak. But what you actually get to see is sort of, it's like you get to live your entire life in one day because, you know, there's certain things, you know, again, as a kid or an adult that you're fearful of. But as you condition yourself over and over and over and get through them, you go through that period where the excitement wears away, you become familiar, you get bored, and then you finally have to kind of push your way out of boredom and find new things while having to do the same thing. So on that point, The Edge of Tomorrow, in my opinion, I thought was, you know, it's worth a watch. $14, I'm not sure about that. I'd go at matinee price. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
Anyway. So.
Yeah. That's another thing I don't like. Okay, we got number three. I don't know if we have a number three.
Ladies and gentlemen, the quadratic equation.
Let me see.
Ladies and gentlemen, the quadratic equation.
One, two, three.
No, that's number four again. Okay, Kelly, you escaped number three. Number three.
Number three is Maleficent. It made $19,008,000 over the weekend for a total of $163,525,000 over 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the budget was $180 million.
So they still under budget. I mean, they're still behind.
Well, remember. Yeah, but remember, this doesn't account for. This doesn't account for merchandise. This doesn't account for, you know, this is just the first 2 weeks inbox receipts. This doesn't account for.
Yeah, but we're talking people box office, though. We're talking people actually paying to see the movie. And
but this one will be one that will carry over and sell in DVD, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the Lone Ranger, they talked about what a bomb that was, you know, because it was like, oh, you know, they're $200 million under. No, they more than made up, you know. When they tell you that, that's just basically – that's the hurry up and rush in and make the movie profitable nonsense. But you have really a good 1 to 5 years that thing can continue to make money. And in some cases, films like the Ghostbusters still do. So, you know, there's a, There's no way to explain ancillary rights to general public.
I agree with you, Chris.
I'm pretty sure that Maleficent and Edge of Tomorrow will do well.
Well, I don't think about Edge of Tomorrow. I think it's going to tank. But Maleficent, I do. And I'll tell you why I do, because it's generational, what Walt Disney do. Your kid's 10 years old, going to remember this movie, and she's going to take her other kid who's 10 years old. 10 years from now, she's going to be 20. She's going to take her little girl to see it, a different point of view, because it's a Walt Disney thing. I think this movie is going to have a lot of legs for a long period of time. All right. Number two. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Number two.
Three is a magic.
Oh, that's three.
Number.
What happened in number
yes,
two?
It's
yes.
A magic number.
Is it number?
Somewhere in the ancient mystic trinity, you get three.
Well, okay. Number two.
Number two is.
Baby, I can get your music. Number two.
Puff the magic, what?
Aha! Now you're looking beautiful, number two. Oh, just a little thank you.
Oh, hi, Mr. Sand.
Oh, hello, Len. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good.
What are you doing, Mr. Sand?
Oh, I?
Yes.
I was just cleaning number two. Oh.
Wow, that's exciting.
Oh, yes, Len, that's very exciting. Do you know how important number two is?
Huh?
Tell me, Len, how many eyes you have?
I have one, two eyes, Mr. Sand.
Oh, yes, and how many?
Mr. Sand? It was short for Mr. Sandusky. Number two.
Number two is...
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you for the courtesy laugh. Wait a minute. Thank you, Kelly. You're the only one who got it.
No, I'm over here getting it. It's awesome. I keep bringing this up. Sorry.
Okay.
I didn't know anybody heard that. Whatever.
Yep. Well, number two, Kelly. What's number two?
Number two is How to Train Your Dragon 2. And it made $50 million over the weekend. It's the first weekend out, and no budget's on this one yet.
Hmm.
And it is in 4,253 theaters.
Wow.
That's the highest number. Yeah, the highest number.
Wow. Boy,
yeah,
they got some pull.
Isn't
yeah,
that
no,
a Nickelodeon? That's a Nickelodeon show.
Yeah, if you get that kind of distribution, like two people could go see your movie in every theater and you'll do fine.
Yeah,
that out.
But if you guys ever look at the, you know, when you release the stats and you look at markets, like the, say, for example, the PG-13 market, and if Hammer said, I'm going to have a contest today, I'm going to say, what was the highest rated PG-13 film? What was the highest R-rated film or MP-17, whichever you do it these days? And if you look at the highest rated R film in terms of gross box office receipts, gross, versus the highest, you know, the gross from the PG-13, the PG-13 market will be almost exactly four times the amount, four times as many people as the R. So, you know, that kind of gives you an idea of a movie like Dragon 2 or How to Train Your Dragon 2 and how many more theaters that Maleficent, like you'd mentioned, Hammer, there's a timelessness to those types of films, whereas R-rated horror movies involving nudity and sex, you know, most people are just going to want to download about 15 seconds of any of those movies and string them all together. You know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
I agree
it's kind
with
of
you.
An interesting. And when you brought up the number of theaters, and people say, well, why don't they put movies, you know, by Michael Moore or whatever, you know, in there? And the reason is, of course, that one of the easiest, the hardest, you know, genre to make movies for, yet easiest for big studios, is children's movies. You know, you take out the swear words and you open the doors to everybody. So I'm not trying to espouse an editorial or monopoly.
Or the violent.
Yeah. But it gives you an idea of just how many more people in certain age groups go and see movies.
Well, it makes, if you do the math, it's like you take the kid to the movies, and then you know it's his favorite movie, so then you buy the DVD because you want him to be quiet, and you're playing that movie all around, and the kid has friends, and they play the same DVD, so on and so forth. Walt Disney does it right. Every 10 years, they'll come out with an anniversary of the same movie, because 10 years from now, you're going to be 20. And then your little kid's going to be like one or two. And then another 10 years, you're going to be 30. That kid's going to be 20. He's going to introduce it to her daughter. It goes on and on and on. That's why Disney is so successful. They found the formula. Okay, Kelly, number one.
Number one is no music for that one?
Well,
23 Jump Street is number one.
Yeah.
And it's the first week out.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
3,300 theaters. It made $60 million over the weekend.
Yep.
Are you serious?
Me too.
How much did it cost to make?
They don't have a budget on it?
If you want, you can go to IMDb and pull it. If any of you have IMDb accounts, you can go look.
Yeah.
Is everybody looking at me to do that? I'm.
No. That's fine. Well, it sounds like it's a good movie. I got a feeling it'll be number four next week. But that's your movies. That's your movies. Let me play Kelly's song for those of you who could not afford to go to the movies.
What?
You want to go to the movies, son?
What?
And that's what your kids will see.
Go ahead.
Well, when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. And again, we lost a great announcer, Casey Kasem. And we're going to leave you with Casey Kasem and come back and say goodbye.
The countdown will be...
This is fucking awesome.
Thank you, Kelly.
Well, that should do it.
Are we doing the Casey Kasem thing tomorrow?
The countdown will begin this Sunday afternoon.
Tomorrow, why?
Oh, I thought you were saying you wanted to do a special tribute to him.
No, I just want to get a sound bite. But tell us, I was going to come back so we can wrap up the show, but I was just going to leave him because he just left us. So I just want this memory of Casey.
The countdown will begin this Sunday afternoon at 1, right here on the radio station you grew up with, Music Radio 138. Oh, fuck. What the hell's going on here? Oh, geez, well, isn't it the last hour? We got another hour to do? Jeez, I thought we were almost finished. Good. Golly, Miss Molly. Boy, this is fucking ponderous, man. Ponderous, fucking ponderous. Hi, this is Casey Kasem. American Top 40 has moved to a new time. I hope you'll join me this Saturday morning and every Saturday morning at 2. Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's come start again. I'm coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. This is the last goddamn time I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
Rest in
peace. You had to do that. You had to do that to him. You just had to do that to him.
We'll be right back.
Women to Marilyn calling me, audibly, bawling. She said that she would never leave, continue to torture me, telling me to come with her, underneath my comforter. And she brought a gun with her, pills and some rum with her, took me on the balcony, telling me to jump with her. Yeah, I'm in the ghost, but I ain't doing stunts with her. I ain't trying to be that, haters want to see that. But I got him aggy, because I win the gold like Gabby. She's just a girl and she's on fire. Fantasy, only like a highway. She
Kelly and Ellen's on fire. And we're back. And we're back with our special guest, Chris Yonke. And Ellen. Hi there. And Ellen's back with us. And Kelly, of course, Kelly Corbin, who just finished the top box office hits, which is sucks. Anyway, I mean, your reporting didn't suck. You did good. The box office sucks. Oh, is Alicia Keys still singing? Kelly Corbin's on.
I'm too busy listening to Right Said Fred.
Yeah, I know you are. You are obsessed with him. All right,
yeah,
we're back.
It's my new one.
Oh, God. Yeah. And we're going to wrap
I'm
up the show.
Lame.
You are not. Kelly, who's on the show tomorrow?
Yeah.
Tomorrow we have Gail Murphy on the show.
Yay! Gail Murphy. And who is Gail Murphy? I know who Gail Murphy is. Gail Murphy's with, she used to be the reporter on E! Entertainment.
She's a Hollywood correspondent.
Yeah, she is. A celebritizer.
She's interviewed like over 15,000 celebrities.
Including me.
Including you?
No, she didn't interview me. Yeah. Gail has this thing about me. You know, Chris, she can't keep her hands off me.
Oh, well.
You know, when she comes on the show, she wants me. She just wants me badly. You can hear her breathing heavy. She'll talk to me like, oh,
emphysema would have nothing to do with this.
Yeah,
it
had nothing to do with it. Lung disease, nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Black lung. She's a cold
yeah, black
lung. God, are you kidding me? You know, I got to tell you, Hammer. So Gail Murphy's going to come on and she's going to, what, she's going to telegrope you? She's going to do it by telecommuting.
Oh, she does it so well. I mean, it's hard. I mean,
I've
I'm telling you,
never
Kelly
been
has
eye groped.
Well, she does it very nicely. She's a celebritizer. Kelly has to stand between us because she gets so excited. It's almost like she jumps through the phone and she wants to rip her clothes off and says, "Take me, Hammer, take me." And I said, "Gail, control yourself. You're a professional."
Well, I'll take you to the emergency room. No, I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Well, that's
exactly.
Good. I mean, see, it's good to have some chemistry like that because,
yeah.
You know, I got to tell you, I just had to take Mrs. Special someone and her two daughters to the airport this morning. They're on their way to a lovely 10-day excursion to Hawaii. I'm staying here, of course, to work the world-famous Roll With Me event that's coming up here Thursday at the Hollywood location of the Tinhorn Flats, Hammer. And if with your permission, you know, for three – can I ask you guys a serious question? Now, thank God that one of your guests – and why can't I remember his name? It was Max Ivey, I thought. Max gave me a really good suggestion. We're going to have – $100 gets you in, and you get complimentary food and drinks for 3 hours. Now, you know, there's a little bit of a risk there because obviously that's at the discretion of the person, but it's to support a great cause. We're going to play the video, the one that was just released over the weekend. Basically what it is it's what Gabe was able to talk about on the Hammer Show, the why he did it. I mentioned that earlier. But this Thursday, June 19th, $100 gets you in the door at 8 p.m. and until 11 p.m., complimentary food and beverages, Gabe's story, and a chance to help support the YMCA and Gabe's rule across the globe. I look forward to seeing all of you there. For those of you that are interested, the website is www.rollwithme.org. And as always, Hammer, you know, I'm really glad you let me come on the show and ask me questions about teenagers having sex and could we get away with it. My question to you is, if you wanted to get away with it, let's say you did. Let's say you said, you know, Chris, I don't care about your idealism. I want to make a movie about it, and I think we can do it. Don't you think? You know as well as I do. You could put a casting notice on Craigslist, and you'd have a line from here to Canada of people wanting to be in that part of the movie. Which, are we open to that?
Well, I'm not talking about making a teenage porn tape. What I mean is in the 80s, in the 70s and the 80s, you could not have the same scenes as you could put today with politically correct world. American Pie, when the graduate, what people would cringe because he's an underage man with an older woman. That's my point. And in the 70s, when you had The Summer of 42, which is a beautiful movie, it would not play right here because you have a boy with his first love and he's falling in love with an older woman and she takes him to bed. People will lose their freaking minds. You can't make movies like that anymore. That's my point of being so politically correct.
I think what's happened is that in terms of films, is that unless they're blatantly unrealistic, you know, where you get like a movie like, say, Maleficent, the problem is that the way news and current events are reported now, and this is just a commentary, it's my own opinion, but it seems to me that the way news and current events is portrayed to you is movie-like. It comes to you. I don't have to answer that. But it comes to you, the way current events and things happening come to you, they come to you in a way now that's much different than it was back in the 70s and 80s. I mean, in the 70s, Walter Cronkite was still on there, you know, giving you an idea of what, you know, when you thought of current events, you literally imagine the newscaster telling you about them. Whereas now, you know, these images and everything, they're being shot and portrayed in a way that your psyche engages them the way you're engaging movies now. Now, if that doesn't make sense, essentially what I'm saying is this news is being packaged, edited, and sold much in the same way movies are. They're too similar, and that reality becomes difficult to you know, distinguish. And so why are they so PC? Why are they doing that? It's because they're doing something to identify the surreality of movies versus the reality of the current events. Now, that's a whole other topic, but my point is that I feel like you're right. Yes, of course you're right. In today's sterilized PC world, you know, you couldn't have a George Carlin like you did in the 1990s. Like George Carlin could not, up until he died, I keep bringing him up, he's my hero, but even in 2008, you know, when he died, he did shows up until then too. It was nothing like him in the 1990s. In the 1990s, you know, especially him in 92, way more acerbic, way more, you know, lethal in terms of the way he said things. He couldn't do that. He couldn't do that 16 years later, which is really interesting. So, I digress. I didn't mean to go nuts and get all windbaggy on you. Girls, are you still awake?
No, you're right. And we got 96, but you're absolutely right. See, I don't think Cheech and Chong movies. I don't think Cheech and Chong movies will even play right in 2014. It would be joke.
No.
If you put on a Cheech and Chong movie right now to a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old, they would look at him like, "What's the big deal?"
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine if you zapped a bunch of teenagers from this area or Seattle or Denver? You know, because, I mean, you'll see people smoking pot on the road. Now, that's still illegal. You're not supposed to be intoxicated operating a motor vehicle. But, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, you could still go to jail for possession of marijuana. You couldn't until the 90s, you know. So it's funny. They don't get that. And I don't actually, you know, I have to think about that. So
yeah,
right.
But you know, and we're more educated on weed now. It's not like that. Well, you smoke some weed and all of a sudden the whole world is fuzzy, and then you sprout wings and you're flying. And you know, Cheech and Chong exaggerated it. It was funny, but people in Colorado would look at that and going, "They're a bunch of idiots." I don't see anything funny about this. Anyway,
well, that was the years that it was teenage rebellion too, and our parents didn't get the joke completely as we did. And nowadays,
right,
it's the parents who get the joke and not the kids.
That's true.
Can we say major oxymoron?
Exactly. Exactly. It's just the world is changing. To me, it's getting too politically correct. It has to go back the other way so people can have some fun and laugh at inappropriate things. We stop laughing. Anything inappropriate, now it's not funny. It's almost like, let's raise a cause and let's kill it. All right.
Sounds like they're walking in a wind tunnel.
It's not me. I can tell you that. I do want to know this. I want to send you guys on Facebook, Kelly and Gabe, or I'm sorry, Kelly and Hammer, smack me. I wanted to send you the 66-second new video of Gabe's Roll With Me, and just I'll let you two watch it. We don't need to be going on about it in the show, but I want you two to see it because the day that you had him on the show, we got this out of editing, and I'm, like, punching myself in the face because, I mean, almost, like, to the point when we hung up with the Hammer show, and Gabe called me up, and he said, you know, I was really glad to be on that show because it was the most serious show I've ever been on. He said, you know, usually
that's nice.
He really, I mean, it was a big deal for you to get to talk to him about some of the things you wanted to know about. And rather than listening to, you know, you and me talk about, you know, Free the Nipple or whatever the fuck it was we were talking about, but he really appreciated it. He said that was a very serious visit. And then we get an email from one of our editors, hey, look what I just turned out. So I'm going to send you that video, and if you do want to share it, it is 66 seconds, and it's a very, it's very serendipitous. I keep talking about it, but please watch it. Kelly, can I send it to you on Facebook too?
Sure, no problem,
okay.
Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I'd really like
to see it.
I would really love to see it.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
I would really love to see it. You know, because he's a really true inspiration, and I would love it, and I would play it. Please let me know, because I think he's a great guy.
It's coming at you. I'm sending it to you right now. I'm going to let you wrap up the show. Thank you, as always. I'm going to go ahead and I'll go ahead and sign off. Kelly, Ellen, thank you for listening to us joke around. I hope you're not offended, or if you are, I know it's become kind of commonplace with Hammer and I. I'm Hammer. It's on its way. You guys should see a blip on your screens unless you blocked me again.
No, we did not block you. Let me see. It's on its way. Is it in my inbox? Because I don't see it.
Oh, you don't
see
it? All right. Well, I'm
going
to send
it
to you now. There it goes. Boom. Actors Anarchy and Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Here we go.
Let me see. I'm going to get this. And tomorrow, don't forget to listen to Gail Murphy. Gail Murphy's not, like I said, little things. She does little things to make your career turn into big things. She's been in the business for, I don't know, over 20 years. She was an entertainment reporter on E! She's been on a show. I love her to death. And, you know, this attraction has to stop. She gets a little obsessed about me, you know what I mean? She wants a piece of the Hammer. Kelly tries her best to control her urges, but, yeah, well, she does, you know. She's got a fever,
and the prescription is more Hammer. Yes.
It is.
Yeah, I just know. Yes, Nurse Hammer. Nurse Hammer is about to see Dr. Murphy. Can you imagine the role reversal? You be in charge. I'm too sexy for my... Oh, sorry, we're going to get back.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm going to play that.
I got your video. I got your video right here. While I roll, I'm going to play that tomorrow. Thank you, Chris. And
now, should you want us to be listeners, or should I call in tomorrow and say hi to Gail?
Anytime you
want. I don't
want
to get in the middle.
I'm going to play
Gail's
it tomorrow.
Gail's going to be here a little bit late. You'll probably not until about 45 minutes into the show. So you'll have time to come on before, and then she'll be here after.
Okay.
Well, no, I didn't know if during if she comes on during, what I'm going to do is, you know, other than getting to say hi, I should probably mute or flip back to, depending on how bad my schedule is, I'll flip back to where I can listen to the show on my PC. That way, you know, it's easier to have, like, a real serious interview rather than me asking her questions like, so how long have you had that rash for Hammer? You know, or asking, do you ever try on Hammer's boxers in the morning just to... I don't want to ask those questions, but they'll come out.
I had a girlfriend who used to do that. I never wore boxers, but she used to.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry, I didn't want to hear about your sausage hanger, dude, but at least you don't switch.
No. I wear the greatest underwear. This is really cool. The greatest underwear is the jockey. It's the black jockey. It has that pouch where it can keep your stuff all nice and neat and not floppy around and everything. I feel very secure. My testicles love it because it has that pouch there, and it looks really sexy. It comes down to almost like the tip of your thigh. You seen? Remember those underwears, Kelly? Have you seen them?
Boxer briefs.
No, they're jockeys. I don't know what you call them, but they're just
those are the semi-athletic cut or something
right.
like that. Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
I know
they look
Hammer, I mean, I'm at a point where...
you need a little help.
Go ahead. Phil, no,
but
you're going to start a sentence like that. You finish it.
It sucks your butt in, and it makes your testicles look bigger than life, and they're comfortable, and you can walk around in them. Kelly, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I'm not sure.
I almost had to go over there and give her more oxygen on that one. I mean,
yeah, you're gonna.
You're talking. You're like. You're going all twig and berries on her on that one. No,
I did not go twig and berries.
You know, and I'm sitting there. I go to CVS Rite Aid today, and I'm looking around because underwear shopping. Just because I do a lot of running and walking now, and of course they got same nonsense. You know how it goes when you're doing a lot of exercise. You got to get the athletic ones, and of course I see a style that I like, and I look up at the brand name, and it's Depend for men. So yeah, great. I'm already in that category.
Are you kidding
me? I'm like, no, I'm not. In the green box, I'm like, oh, this is a great style. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, it's a great. Never mind. I'm like, you know what? I'm putting it back. Yeah.
Oh,
like, yeah.
Why would you even pick it up? Depends for men.
I didn't know.
I'm taking away your man card.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's two. You lose two male points. You've been reduced.
Yeah, you sure do.
You're now
Depends
you're now
for men.
Yes, that's right. You're now a preteen boy, and if you're a preteen boy, the men that are interested in you. So, all right, guys, I'll click it.
Chris Yonke, everyone. Before we leave, anybody remember the football player Vince Young? Anybody?
Vince Young?
Well, he's
going
to retire.
Yeah.
Vince Young is going to retire. This is the most stupidest. This guy is the most moron guy who ever went into football. He has so much talent. I think he even won a Heisman, if I'm not mistaken. Here we go. He's announcing his retirement Saturday. NFL free agent quarterback Vince Young informally announced his retirement Saturday at his annual football camp. He has a football camp? The guy couldn't even play one season anyway. The 31-year-old football standout with the Longhorns and number 3 overall pick in the 2006, I guess he did not win Heisman, said Saturday his retirement is definitely official, I think, in my book, and he has already started moving on towards other endeavors. In April, it was reported that Young, who has been in some capacity a player for 5 NFL rosters, said he had a job with the Longhorns when his professional career is over. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, most recently, Young, a 2-time Rose Bowl MVP while at Texas, signed a 1-year deal with the Browns this past May, but was released. How could you be released from the Cleveland Browns? They don't release no one.
Are you kidding me? They don't even release them if they have to go to prison. I mean,
I know.
Other than the Detroit Lions, it's like, are you kidding me? So yeah, he must have just not had it. I mean, you got to know how hard it is for those athletes. I mean, I was never an athletic kind of person, but you start realizing you respect everybody else's profession. And a lot of the guys, when I was younger in school, you know, they wanted to play for teams. But when you went out and saw how hard they had to work to, you know, to stay focused, and it wasn't just about the 2 hours that they got to be popular in school. They had to go back and they would train for hours and they'd play. And a lot of these guys, when they have that early success, it kind of burns them out. Or they just decide that they don't want to do something, or sometimes they just aren't as good.
Well, when I played, let me just tell you, it's difficult. If you think you're dumb in football, forget it, because you have to learn 200. When I was playing, I had to learn 180 plays. But when you get into college level, you have to learn 565 plays at a given chance. I could do, if you're not a football player, you wouldn't know who the name is. But this guy, Vince Young, was a moron. He's an idiot. He didn't have any kind of football intelligence whatsoever. There was another one who had that with the Oakland Raiders. Oh, God, Kelly would know him and her husband would know. I forgot his name. He lasted about 2 years. Again, he was number 1 pick.
Don't forget Brian Bosworth for the Seattle Seahawks. Bos came in and played barely a season and made, what, $80 million?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just really.
Go ahead.
I'm looking at this other guy. If you're a ball, we don't usually do it. We got to get our sports show back. I'm looking at Johnny Manziel, you know. I'm looking at him right now. Mr. What do they call him? Johnny Manziel, Kelly. What do they call him? Mr. Football,
sure.
Or Hollywood, whatever. I'm looking at this guy.
Was he Hollywood? Hollywood is...
He's one of the best. They figure he came out of the draft in 2014. He was one of the best.
Johnny Manziel looks like
his body looks like a female. He looks like a female with boobies. A little tiny, scrawny little kid. And he went to the Browns. Johnny Football, you're right. And everybody expected him to start, but Jaworski said he won't start. So all you guys waiting for the Manziel era won't happen this year. He watched the former Heisman Trophy winner perform during Browns OTAs and poured more cold water on excited Cleveland fans drooling over the chance that Manziel will be the team's quarterback as a rookie. But Jaws, who is Jaworski, said instead predicted Brian Hoyer will probably win the job. Here's what I predict. I predict the New Orleans Saints will fall, not reach 500 this year. I predict that the New Orleans Saints will have a disappointing season. I really do, because they have no front line whatsoever. They have
no defense
whatsoever.
Pass protection?
No, not at all. They're really weak in that area, as they were weak last year, and they didn't really draft well. I think they will fall below 500. What do you think, Ellen? Oh, I guess she's gone. But anyway,
The New Orleans Saints. Well, you know, I don't know, because we were talking about that, because, I mean, obviously I'm from Seattle, and I was really surprised the Seahawks offensive line did not start strong at all. I mean, they really didn't. I mean, like the first eight games, I mean, they won. They managed to get wins out of it, but there were a lot of close calls on that, you know. And that's what got me was, and it really evolved over the season. And I know, you know, that's just one team. But I had a question. San Francisco, are they losing their coach from last year? Was he just kind of a couple-season deal?
I don't know. I have to look. I doubt it. What's his name? Is great. They wouldn't dare lose him.
He and the Seattle coach, they're like big-time rivals. They hate each other. That's why there
for
was
a good
so
reason.
Much. Yeah. Well, wait. Why did the Seattle coach? He basically had to quit after they found out he was having sex.
Rumored. Yeah. Well, Pete Carroll was coaching USC, and Kelly should know who I'm talking about, San Francisco coach. Wasn't UCLA. I think Stanford, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not quite sure. But, yeah, they were at odds for a little bit. But you know what? I'll be here. Special thanks to Chris Yonke. And
you got to cut me off. Ah, Mr. Roll with me. You take it from here. Am I getting muted for the day? Am I coming back tomorrow?
No, we're going to leave, or we're running out of time. But mention the website what you and Gabe are on.
Hi there, everybody. This is Chris Yonke from www.rollwithme.org. Come join us on the Hammer Show daily, sometimes for a lifetime, when I come in and share commentary, joys, and get to hear the great stories from our host, Brian the Hammer Jackson. Support Gabriel Cordell in his quest to roll around the world. Thank you, Hammer, for having us on the show. But you can support us at www.rollwithme.org or this Thursday, June 19th, at the Hollywood location of the Tin Horn Flat Saloon and Bar for 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. $100 gets you complimentary cocktails and food. Come join us. Show some support. Thank you again, Brian the Hammer Jackson. Thank you, Ellen. I know you can hear us out there. And, of course, Kelly, for being so patient.
Thank you, Chris. It's always a pleasure. This show is your show, too, anytime, my friend. You make the show work. All right. Kelly, are you excited about football?
I am.
Look at her. She has a football. Last year, Kelly's son was on his high school football team, and I made a promise to Kelly I was going to follow her son. It's called the Panthers. Didn't I follow them all year, Kelly?
Yeah, you did.
And I'm going to
sure
follow
did.
Them
you.
This year. I'm going to follow them this year. You go, Panthers. I'm going to be on your ass. I told Kelly I was going to be there in the home game. And what did you say to me, Kelly? So, make me feel so welcome.
I don't remember. But
I know exactly. I was going to go out there, fly out there. I was going to support. She has a beautiful family. Her son's playing. I was going to support, come out there and go, yay. And Kelly says, I think you have to sit somewhere else. You don't sit with us.
I have season tickets. You'll have to sit over in another part of it. Oh, yeah, I told you you could sit in the student section because you kept calling me and saying ole.
Ole, 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 ole.
Yeah, that
ole.
Was
ole.
The name of the game. The name of the game. The name of the game. The name of the game.
Ole, 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 ole. We are the champs. We are the champs. Ole, 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 ole.
Come on, Kelly.
We are the champs. We are the champs. Ole, 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 ole.
That's what I'm going to sing, Chris, when I go to her game.
They got a lot to live up to. They were state champions last year, but they graduated 32 seniors last year, so they're reloading this year. So it'll be good. It'll be interesting to see where the kids go this year.
Well, I'm going to go to the game, and we're all going to do this.
The name of the game. The name of the game. The name of the game. The name of the game.
To your son's game.
Oh, boy.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow with Crystal Gale.
Or Gail Murphy.
Yeah, Gail Murphy.
Gail Murphy. Yeah, don't make
Crystal
my blue
Gale.
Eyes brown.
Yeah.
All right, talk to you guys later.
Have all right, night. Chris, thank you for dropping by. And we're out of here, Kelly. As we leave the studio, we got to say goodbye. Anything else, Kelly?
No, I think we covered about everything.
All right, kiddo. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
You're listening to Brian and Hammer Jackson Show. We're featuring Kelly Corbin, and of course, she's my executive producer, and also with Ellen. I keep wanting to say DeGeneres, Ellen Dixon, along with Chris Yonke, who is our celebrity who came in for today. Have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow morning.